Okay. Yeah, if I use your attention. Hello. Excuse me. Maybe we start the meeting. I know you guys are busy. If you want to chat some more, we can wait. Let me know when you're free. It's like being in school. Demerits. You got 2 demerits. No, but you got demerits.
Can I be expelled?
Yeah, I like to call this.
Can I be expelled?
No, that's 2 more demerits.
Hey,
you're getting the whole summer off. We're mad at you now. Okay, we'd like to call this special meeting. I'm not sure. Is this the CSD board? I'm assuming it is. Okay, if you would join us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can you call roll call, please?
President Simon?
Here.
Vice President Steele?
Here.
Director Graves?
I'm here.
Director Pease?
Here.
Director Wiesen?
Here.
Thank you. I'm going to dispense with public comment because there is no public in the room tonight. And we'll take us straight to business and action items. C1, review of the fiscal year 2012-13 draft audit. Staff?
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Thank you for being here this evening for this special meeting. Tonight, I've asked representatives from Croce, Sanguinetti, and Vanderbeek, our folks prior from Croce and Company, to come here this evening and to present the draft of our fiscal year ending June 30th, 2013 audit. So it's for the period that ended last June 30th. It needs to be statutorily accepted and adopted by the board by June 30th. It's on your agenda next week to adopt. And Pauline and Mark are here to give an update, as they've done in past years, as to what the audit looks like.
Do you have a microphone for them?
I talk loud.
Yeah, but it needs to be recorded.
Can you stand virtually still? I can put up a little bit. There you go.
Loose okay. Charge.
Thank okay. You.
All right. Does everybody, hopefully everybody has a copy in their packet. I will try to make this quick and painless as much as I can. I want to thank the board for having us. I'm going to go through your draft financial statements, and then Mark's going to go through what's called the SAS 114 letter, which is communication with those charged with governance. And so he'll go over that once I get done with the draft statements. So if you turn to page 1, this is your auditor's report. We've issued a clean opinion, which means we did not find any material misstatements during our audit. So it's the highest level of assurance that we can give you as auditors. It's an unmodified opinion. So you have good management in place. So that helps in that regard. I also want to say that at this point that you guys have made some good progress this year as far as this year, 12-13 year. You have put in place a new software program for accounting purposes. So now everything is housed in one system as opposed in the past. It was kind of a hodgepodge. So you are making progress in that aspect, that it's all getting in one place. And also you have, to me, there's better staffing. You have some improved staffing. Not saying that you had bad staffing before, but I do think that the staffing that you have now is qualified and is doing a good job. So I just want everybody to know that. If we continue on page 2, you'll see that the report's not quite dated yet, because we have not we're still waiting for the legal representation letter, which we talked to Rod tonight about, so he'll get that to us, and once we receive that, then we can date our report. Continuing on, this is the next page, is management's discussion and analysis. This actually is a good place for, I think, as a board member, you would want to look, because it kind of gives you comparisons from last year to this year. It's the only place really in your statements that you can see comparative information, because for government standards, you don't have to have comparative financial statements. So it's a good place to look for last year to this year analysis. So this just goes through and gives you some financial highlights. You will note that there was a decrease in your net assets for the year. Your net position increased by $500,000 over the prior year. And then it goes through an overview of your financial statements, like what government-wide statements are, fund financial statements, a lot of accounting mumbo jumbo. Continuing on to page 5, this is your balance sheet compared to, from last year to this year, so it kind of gives you an idea. You'll see in the total column, you'll see that there's a, and then there's a variance column, so you'll see your total assets increase by about $14 million. A lot of that is due to bond money that you received during the year, and also to the purchase of the community center and some additional purchases that you made during the year and projects. And then you'll see your liabilities. They also increased due to the bond that you received. So your net position for the year increased $500,000 from last year. So that's positive. Page 6, this shows you revenues and expenses compared from last year to this year. Again, it's broken out by governmental activities and business type activities. Governmental activities are your general fund, Lion Landscaping 8, Lion Landscaping 9, and your community center. So all those in your governmental business type activities are your water and sewer and the financing authority. So you'll see for your governmental activities, it's showing a loss for the year of $329,000. On the other hand, on your business type activities, you're showing a profit of $833,000. Just so you guys know, through discussion with Rick and Dina prior to this meeting, we were not aware that a grant was applied for Lighting Landscaping 8, and it was approved prior to June of 2013, and it's for $400,000. That money came in 13-14 year. So we're going to be booking a receivable, which means that $329,000 loss will now go away. And so now you'll show a slight profit. On page 7, this is just some graphs showing the expenses and revenues for each type of activities. Continues on page 8. Page 9, this is again some explanation regarding your governmental funds and proprietary funds. Page 10, this shows your capital asset. Some major purchases that you guys did during the year, major projects. You had some dewatering solar dryer projects. You had a belt filter press. Anyways, it kind of highlights your different big projects. And then in the table, you can see that your assets significantly increased from last year to this year. And like I said, part of that was due to the community center purchase. And then there was some additional debt due to the bond. And that's your management succession analysis. Then I'm continuing on page 12. I'm not going to go through this in detail just because we kind of highlighted a little bit of that as we went through the MD&A. So on page 12, this is your balance sheet for the year. You'll see that the district has at the end of the year total net assets of $42 million. On page 13, it's kind of hard in a draft, but it'll be side by side when you get your finals. You'll see that for the year, you have income of $500,000 between all of your different, all of your funds. Page 14, this is your governmental funds. This is showing your general fund, community center, and Lion Landscaping 8 and 9 in more detail, so you can see the separate columns for the different funds, as opposed to all collapsed into one. Page 15, this is your revenues and expenses for the same activity. 17 is your proprietary funds, which is your water, sewer, and financing authority. I will highlight that it's not traditional to see the financing authority as its own column. Normally what happens is it gets collapsed inside of your water and sewer, but because your financing authority still has money left in it, and because you have purchased some assets at this point, I felt like from a reader standpoint it was nice to see what's actually in that account and what you've accounted for as far as money that's spent for the bond. So I thought for presentation purposes it was a little bit easier to understand. So it's not typical to see that. It's not wrong for it to be like this. It's just a way of presenting it. This will probably go away in the future once the bond money has all been spent and all the assets have been transferred to the district. on page 18. This is the income and expenses for your water and sewer activity. Again, you'll see that there was profit in those funds of $833,000 for the year. Page 19, this is the statement of cash flows. The statement of cash flows is cash in and cash out for the district. It's only required for your proprietary funds, which is your water and sewer and financing authority funds. So you'll see that you had a net increase in cash and cash equivalents of $13 million. Majority of that is due to the bond money coming in. So you had cash and cash equivalents at the end of the year of $19 million. Page 20, this starts your notes to the financial statements. This just goes, these are all standard notes. There's the biggest difference is the description regarding the financing authority. So on page 21, you'll see that now it's what's called a component unit. So that has been included in these financial statements. So that's new, the description of the blended component unit. Continuing on, everything else is pretty standard from prior years. On page 23, we had to add what the financing authority was. That was new. I'm just gonna highlight things that have changed from last year to this year. Continuing on, all those of these are pretty standard note A disclosures. Pretty standard. On page 30, we list, usually include any new accounting pronouncements that will affect the district in the future. So there are a couple GASB that are coming out that will affect the 13 and 14 year. And those are disclosed here. On page 31, this is note B, your cash and investments. So this just goes through and lists out that you had, and there's restricted cash. The money that you receive from the bond is restricted money. That money can only be spent on specific items that were why you acquired the bond to begin with. So that is shown here, the $12 million. And then this just goes through and lists out the different types of investments that the district can invest in. And it shows maturity dates and types of investments. Note C shows your accounts receivable and also your allowance for uncollectible. Your allowance for uncollectible did increase from last year to this year, and partially that is due to the fact that we know that in 13-14 there was a significant amount written off because Dina, when we were out here, had done that when we were here. So we had to make sure there was enough in your reserves to account for that write-off in the following year. On page 35 is your capital assets, and it lists out your capital assets by your governmental activities and by your business type activities. It lists out your non-depreciable assets, which is your land and any CIP, and then depreciable capital assets, which are equipment, buildings and improvements, furniture and equipment, vehicles and whatnot. On page 36 is the long-term debt. This is new, because you did not have debt prior to this fiscal year. So due to the bond, this is all the bond information for the year. You'll see on page 37 that the original amount was $14.1 million, which is the same balance at June 30th, 2013, because no principal payment was due until 13-14. On page 38, that's a requirement to show future payments. This is your future payments. From now until the end of the bond. Everything else, all the other note disclosures are the same as last year, nothing has changed. I know I went through that really fast. I think for my, I felt like I went through it fast. You guys might not have. Does anybody have any questions? Or I can go over something slower?
No questions. On, from a reserves standpoint, what's a typical reserve number that a district our size should probably try to put away?
It really just depends on what you plan to do in the future. And actually, Rick and myself and Mark and Dina were just talking about this before the meeting, and the district is putting away reserves on an annual basis,
right,
in order to plan for future. future development or future, you know, projects and infrastructure replacements and whatnot. So it's really, there isn't really a standard percentage. It's really what the district is comfortable with and what they feel is reasonable. So I don't really, I mean, I don't know if Mark has.
Yeah, I was going to say, regarding that, I can say that, you know, it is unusual for us to find districts that have significant reserves like yours does. I mean, a lot of the older entities, you have to remember we're from Stockton, too. So, I mean, keep that in mind. No reserves there. but anyway, you would look at what you're saying. I mean, there's two types of reserves, and Rick and Pauline and I were talking about that, Dina also. I mean, you have your basic reserves, like if the world came to an end and you needed to operate for a period of time without capital, and you need to be looking at that at something like 6 to 12 months of what your budget is looking at. That's one type of reserve, and that's something you need to set aside for those purposes.
How close are we to that?
I think you've pretty much met that criteria, and you have $3 million that's earmarked in that type of reserve. Beyond that, you would need to look internally at what you're doing tonight as far as a budget workshop to look at other projects that are coming down the pipe, how you're going to fund them, and whether you're going to be funding them with borrowed money or you're going to be funding them with capital that you're going to be putting aside internally.
You had mentioned that we had changed over software, Cassell, and I've heard good things about it, but because you're an auditor, I have to ask, what do you think about that company?
Cassell is a robust program, but yet kind of archaic, meaning that it can do all these functions and activities for government agencies. The good thing about Cassell is it's specific to government agencies. So it does, you know, fund accounting. So from that standpoint, it's great. There's some limitations in reporting and those types of things, but overall, I think it's a good program. It's just trying to figure out, you know, how to get certain, like I said, certain reports. But from an accounting standpoint, it does everything you need it to do, and it accounts for each of the fund activities separately, which is fantastic. And it is better than QuickBooks, because your district is growing and continues to grow, and as it continues to grow, you need your accounting software to be able to keep up with your growth, and Cassell should be able to do that. It's much better than QuickBooks was in that aspect. So I think it's a good program. It's not perfect. No program's perfect, but it definitely has everything that you need it to have in order to provide good financial information.
Okay. And then one last question. You had mentioned on page 34, there's an accounts receivable that's uncollectible.
The allowance, yes.
Yeah, what did we have uncollectible?
That got written off?
Yeah.
So there was some old accounts receivable from, let's see, it was the sports bar. It was connection. Most of them were connection fees that were never collected from prior years. And I want to say
they were on the books, and we just cleaned them up at this time.
Correct. And for accounting purposes, what happens is when you write off a receivable, instead of hitting expense, you hit this allowance account. So because in the accounting world, you have to account for it under the allowance method. And so in order to do that, you need to make sure that your allowance account is large enough to account for any write-offs. Now going forward, I believe that your accounts receivable is going to be pretty clean and fairly collectible, because you have the right to be able to turn somebody's water off. You know, you have the right to shut off. And so your allowance shouldn't really necessarily need to be very high. It is higher this year because we knew of the write-offs. So I think we did about, your reserve is about around 15% of your receivables. And that's kind of just an estimate that management and I came up with in order to make sure we're kind of, that your agency is covered.
So just going forward, what type of percentage do you think?
So I would suspect it would go down, and I'm not more than 10%, I would think.
Right. Thank you.
So it should, that should go down next year.
Yeah, get back to Cassell for a moment. I've had some time to sit down with Dina and talk about that program as being put into place. It also gives us, it gives us a much better opportunity to be, it organizes us better as with regards to our chart of accounts, how we can expand those, keep them in proper categories. All that is one of the major assets to Cassell, right? So we could, from an organizational standpoint, it cleaned up so much of...
It streamlined everything.
Right, exactly.
Because what happened is now you have a chart of accounts that...
It's expandable.
Exactly.
In a sensible way.
Exactly.
Instead of just being added on to this and then,
Exactly. And it allows for you to grow. So
and we're through that transition now, right?
Funds, it's going to be able to account for that.
And we're pretty much through that transition.
It took this year to happen.
It was a struggle.
Right. And there's still some things that need to get worked out, but we're going to come back out, in a few weeks to kind of go through some of that and, shore up some of those questions, so.
Can we let's go back to this write-offs and efforts to that. Why do we have any write-offs in that
these go
especially
back,
for the steakhouse?
These go back to 2005, six, seven.
Before you were here.
Oh, way before I was here. Because I remember the first audit that you presented when I was here, they were on there then. These have been carried on the books for years, and statute of limitations has run on them, and for whatever reason, people move out of town.
I'm talking about
the I realize that, but there are a lot of them where people, they have water bills, and for whatever reason, they were allowed to, the water bills were going up, and they were allowed to pay less than their bill, and just to keep the money coming in, and then they move out of town and saddle us with the bill. That's part of the problem. Okay, that doesn't happen any longer. There are going to be some of those, but that doesn't happen. With respect to the steakhouse, I don't remember how much that was.
It was quite a bit.
Let me tell you why I asked that question. I know Kevin was on the board. Bill was not very interested. We made a deal with the steakhouse, and at the time they owed us a ton of money, and we made a deal with Dr. Mike, and every month we asked, is that current? Yes, it is. They're paying us until they pay out. And now we find out there's a large write-off, and I'm curious as to why.
Two different subjects.
Part of the deal was the negotiation of the fee, though. There was a write-off involved in the deal.
I never saw that.
This is probably before you were on the board.
I was on the board when it built the steakhouse.
I
was here, and there was no. In fact, Virgil was in your spot, and there was no agreement to write off.
Well, I know that the dentist office is completely current. They've been current for over a year.
I'm not talking about whether
I'm just giving you a
they wrote a large check. They owed us like $50,000 or $55,000 at one time.
Who's this?
A ton of money. A long time ago. Before you.
The doctor?
And they started paying us. And we asked, is there any. There was supposed to be nothing written off, and we're supposed to collect every dime of the connection fees and the fees that they owed us. And I asked it every month at the meeting, are we current? Are we current? And I got told every month, yes, we are.
We have been current.
You're taking me from where I'm asking, Rick. I'm talking about then, not now. And how we wrote a huge amount off of the fuck of the board kind of baffles me. Why weren't we apprised to this?
Okay, here, let me tell you what's in there. What got written off subsequent to year end. Sports bar was collected subsequent to year end, $20,000.
Okay.
So that came in 13-14. So that's not part of the write-off. So part of the write-off is we had like $1,700 from Veolia that was in here. There was Ducaney Custom Homes, 2000. Totterocker, okay, the Turcot.
Lots,
yes.
How much did we write off for Ducaney?
2000.
How about Turcot?
2000.
And what was the other one before that, the first one?
Viola.
How much was that?
78.
How come?
$78?
$7,800. What
was it for?
I don't know.
Ducaney's still building it. It's now lives around the corner for me.
Somebody ran over a fire hydrant, and it was believed that it was them. They disputed it, and there was no proof. Or if there was proof, it wasn't enough proof that they indeed had done it. They had disputed it, and it was for a fire hydrant.
That was Turcotte's kid that ran over it, I think.
What'd you change?
And there was witnesses to it.
Oriental House, 4700.
Why, they're in business.
So, and it's been on there for a long time, so.
How far back is it?
It was probably 08 or 09,
10. I don't have that info as far as when exactly it went on, but.
We had all these conversations. I don't mean to be, I mean, but we've had these conversations, especially, and they were one of the conversations Oriel has. And they're going to be all going to be metered by Dr. Mike, and they're all going to be brought up to date, and now we're writing them off.
Is there a statute of limitations, and what is it for any?
6 or 7 years, I'm thinking.
I don't know.
Business is still current.
Matching fees.
Yeah, it depends on the type of contract. I'd have to look at it. If it's considered a written contract, then there's a written agreement to pay fees. We can extrapolate that those statute of limitations. It's 5 years.
I'm kind of curious.
I mean, you could. They could try to collect it. It's written off doesn't mean you can't collect it.
But had we not had this meeting tonight, had you not brought it up, the board knew nothing about it. We're writing off thousands of dollars from accounts that are still doing business in this town that we should be able to collect from. They should have never been written off.
It's been on prior. This board's heard this conversation each year that Pauline has been before us since I've been here. This conversation.
We have brought it up when we've done our reports, but nothing had been written off.
And it never been written off.
But the board is being told something different. We were told everybody was becoming current. We'd cut deals with everybody to make them current.
Those were on people's whose water bills were delinquent and
large water users.
Large water users. These are different. These are
Oriel Steakhouse is a large water user.
They don't pay their bill, they pay it through the owner of the center.
Basically. I understand that. He was going to meet all of them, and we're going to become current with all of them.
They are current with the center is completely current with respect to their monthly usage. They've been current for over a year. Okay. I don't know the genesis of these charges, and in fact, they are on the budget for further discussion this evening. They're going to be highlighted in the discussion as well, because there's a charge off to them that we're going to be showing you this evening. That's in the
budget.
Can
you show me that in the budget where all these charge offs are listed?
I'm going to show it to you. Yes.
Show it to me. I mean, I just feel like we got lied to, Rick. And I'm not saying you lied to us. I'm telling you, we brought this up. I don't understand why we're writing off Veolia for $70.
I don't know about that, and that one is something I'm not aware of at all.
I'd like to know.
I don't know what that is either.
Like I said, even though they wrote, I'm just from your standpoint, I understand what you're saying. I'm just from it could be written off and you can still get it as
I,
well.
I
so from
that. That's,
just
that's
so
not,
you know that,
that's
that
not my,
from
that's
that
not
standpoint.
My concern. My concern is had you not brought it up tonight that Veolia owes us something that we wrote off $7,800, I would know it. Nobody on this board would know it. We got two builders in town that are both still building and still living in this town that both owe us money. We're writing both of them off. I don't understand why. We have a restaurant that's open. We're writing them off. I don't understand why.
Well, the sports bar we did get.
No, Oriental House.
Oh, okay. That's yeah, the Oriental House.
Center.
Yeah, that's.
What else got written off?
I don't know what the name of this.
Looking down here.
Simone's Folds? Fouls? That last name?
Yeah, not the individual. If the homeowners, I'm not talking. I'm just about the lawyers.
Yeah. Those are the biggest ones. Some little personal, individuals, but those are the biggest ones.
Okay. I'd like to know.
I do not know about the BLE one. That one is a surprise to me.
The only other thing I can say, let me bring this part up. In the past, because of how your accounting was done, because there's activity that happens at the county, and then there was activity that happened in QuickBooks. And when we were, having to account for accounts receivable, we did the best that we could to figure out what was in AR. But because the accounting in QuickBooks was not all there, I'm not saying this is an error, but it could have been an error. This $7,800 could have not really have been, it could potentially have been an invoice that got booked in there by a mistake. And you did collect it on another invoice, because over the years in QuickBooks, what was happening was sometimes there was invoices that got entered in twice, one got paid, one didn't, it got left in there. So we'd have to go back to try to see when this got created and to make sure that it's just not an error on the books.
I understand that from my point of view.
Okay.
It's very hard for me to go back to somebody who voted for me when they see this, go, what the hell is this? Oh, I don't know, could be an error. I mean, that's just not really professional.
I understand.
And when I look at something like this, as a business owner, if my employees came to me and said, hey, we just wrote off $700,000, but we don't have a clue why or whether we did it, I'd fire them. So, I mean, I want, if we have businesses in this town that owe us money, it's like this Turcotte thing. We should have gone to the insurance company. There was a police report. We should have gone to the insurance company and let them go after them for $2,700. Why did we write it off?
Sometimes it would cost more to go to the insurance company.
I don't think it would cost us anything.
Because we have a deductible.
No, we could let them go after him and collect it from him. You know, there was a police report. There was a witness. This kid did it.
I don't know.
I don't even know when it happened.
Last year, about two years ago.
No, it was way before that.
It couldn't have been too far before that.
Mark, it's been 5 years.
It has been.
Are you thinking about over on Discovery Boulevard?
The last one that we hit a fire hydrant or hit a car was Turcotte's kid.
On Discovery Boulevard?
Yeah.
This took place in the golf course. This one took place in the golf course.
When did it happen?
5-6 years ago.
What's the other one from?
That one was resolved. I don't know what that one is, but the one you're referring to over on Discovery Boulevard, just north of.
That's what I'm talking about, because I know we hit this kid at a fire hydrant.
Yeah, the white man. Yeah. That's all been resolved. We've collected as much as we could on that. We did write some off on that because the extent of the insurance policy, they only paid up the policy, and we were the last one in line. So we actually did write off some of that, and that may have been. The other one, I don't know.
I'd just like to know. I mean, if somebody asked me, I'd like to be able to answer the question. Instead of saying, I don't know. I don't think that's unreasonable.
But these are old. They are not exactly. Reserves.
So we can move. Let's just
research. We're not going to come up with that tonight.
Let's just research this and bring it back at the next meeting. I would really like to know what it is. Anyway.
Just in case you thought you were done now.
Any other questions?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
You good?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was going to go through there is that second letter that you guys received, just because I can't sit too long and not talk, so it's part of what I have to do here. You also receive a letter from us relative to those charged with governance, and this letter is actually very positive, and we wanted to let you know. During this past year, with the change in the year we're talking about, June 30th, 2013, with the change to Cassell, there has been a lot of transition. It's been very positive. Everything is in one place. It's the first time where we're really happy as auditors to say there is a general ledger. Your district has one concise general ledger that houses all assets owned by the district. We're not trying to house things at the county and house things here. Very positive and very flexible for moving forward. We do want to let you know that as part of what we're doing, we have to let you know if there were qualitative things in the accounting that was something we made judgments on that were material. We're happy to let you know that everything was very positive. We were looking through things with your management, very good. As far as doing any difficulties, if we were getting in fights with management or whatnot, we have to let you know, hey, we're having issues over here. We did not. We do have to list some of the journal entries, or list the material journal entries relative to the water fund, sewer fund, lighting and landscaping. And you will notice that we did make some entries to do some payroll adjustments as far as some allocations, and then we do book depreciation expense on behalf of the district. We are required to let the board know that we calculate as your auditors your depreciation expense, and we book it. We're allowed to do so under the accounting pronouncements. That is one thing we can do. But as an auditor, that makes it hard for us to audit, is essentially what we're letting you know on that depreciation expenses. We have to let you know we have audited our own calculation. We calculated it, we booked it. The amounts that are booked are listed here in this report. If we had disagreements with management, we need to let you know. We are getting our management representation letter, that's listed in this letter. If there were consultations with other outside auditors, opinion shopping, where we felt like in the end we were getting put in a corner saying, hey, if we ask these guys and they'll do this for us, how about you guys doing this? That we're pleased to let you know that did not happen and that there were not any other issues. So it's a very positive report. This was originally intended to kind of actually be a report card to management. They thankfully didn't make us have to give people grades, but I mean, if it would, this would be an A grade. It's all good. This is very positive, but we are required to tell you these things. So every year we will stand here, or an auditor will stand here, to tell you these things. And if there's something that has to be said in these categories, we are required to have that communication. So very positive. We want to thank you guys for being able to work with the district. We can get back to you on some of those allowance for bad debt items. We are going to make the adjustment for that receivable. That money just came in, I think, this last week and was deposited. It was money from East Bay Regional Parks money that had been applied for a long time ago. And so that money did come in. We're going to book that receivable. It will make your lighting and landscaping not look negative, which is very positive because we all know that it is not. And part of that negative was a result of the fact of repairs and maintenance and other things that happened over at that community center during that 12-13 fiscal year. In addition, we are pleased that we were able to, you know, discuss with management things. I mean, we do see surpluses in your water and sewer funds, and it's very pleasing to know that you are looking to build reserves and do things for future capital projects, which is what you're going to discuss tonight. And it's nice to see a district that is being proactive and doing that instead of reactive and coming in at the end and saying, gee, we need to do something, now let's go borrow money. You're actually looking to fund ahead. So if I were sitting on your side of the table, you just need to know that, I mean, from an astute public person's perspective, if they were to look at the statements and just see those surpluses, you know, they may ask a question, why are we running a surplus? Doesn't that mean I'm paying too much for my water and sewer service? And of course that answer is no, because we are trying to proactively plan for the future and not reactively plan for the future. So very, very positive, and just want to let you know we're around. Any questions, you let us know. And our final reports will be here for your meeting on June 19th.
Thank you very much for your presentation.
Thank you. Have a good 18. Got it. Well, close enough.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thanks for coming
for your Yeah, coming for your close enough.
I love it.
June 18th, June 19th. Thank you guys very much. You have a good meeting.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay.
Item 2. Fiscal year 14-15 and fiscal year 15-16 preliminary draft operating capital revenue budget. Staff.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. I thought we'd conduct this study session workshop similar to how we've done it in past years. So Marianne, you're the new one here for this, so follow along. It's going to be an interesting evening. We're trying to keep it as short and concise as possible so you can ask as many questions as you like. I'm going to do the introduction. Dina's going to get into the town water sewer operating O&M. Farron's going to address her parks and landscape and recreation functions. And then we'll go back to the CIP where Virgil, Dean, and myself can address those. So I'm pleased to submit the budget for this coming fiscal year. We did a two-year budget similar to what we did last year. As you know, the second year of the budget is not adopted. It's just a planning for planning purposes, so we can forecast out a little bit further. The budget is balanced where revenues do meet expenditures. For this coming fiscal year, our O&M budget shows an increase of just under $300,000 or 6%. However, our overall budget shows about a 6% decrease when you look at it from a total budget standpoint. I went through those items last week that were positive notes that took place during the course of the year, so I'm going to dispense with those. And one thing that I mentioned last week that I was not in my transmittal letter to the board were some projects that are included in there, but I didn't include them in the letter, so I apologize for that. But they're in there now. They're at the bottom of page 3. And there's a number of projects that are new that they're identified in purple on the CIP list when we get there. The first one is the vehicle storage facility, President Simon's favorite. Our on-site reclaimed water project, which we discussed last week as well as initiating the discussion with the relocation of town offices to the community center site. On that last item, I just want to remind the board that before any money would be spent on that, that this board would have would have a number of opportunities before any money's ever spent to have thoughtful discussion on that item. For the most part, this represents a status quo budget. The one real program change takes place in Parks and Landscape, which would be transitioning contract landscape services in Zone 8 to in-house services. Another thing I'm recommending that was not in last week's letter, and it's included in the budget, but it wasn't in my transmittal letter, is a new item, is the establishment of an Internal Revenue Code Section 125 program, better known as a cafeteria plan. That allows employees the ability to use pre-tax dollars for qualified medical and child dependent care expenses. As you know, we have a young staff for the most part, but some of them have children, and that would be very helpful to them. There is a cost to the district the first year of about $1,500 because there's some administrative startup fees, and for the subsequent year it would be about $1,000. And some of the program costs are borne by the employees. It has to do with their contributions and what goes into the account. It's not set up yet. We've done some research. We do have a recommendation on that, and before that would get adopted, it would come back to the full board because it requires resolutions and that sort of thing. So if you're okay with moving forward, we'd go ahead and do that. Sometime probably in July or August, for more than likely in January when we'll update.
That's just to be clear, that's $1,500 for everything, not per employee.
Correct, it's for everybody. It's $6 a month
per employee.
Something. Yeah, something like that. And that it depends on how many sign up for it too. If they all do, it's $650. If 10 of them do, it's still $650 for times 10. Not recommending any new positions in this budget year. I do recommend two title changes. Those are to the Parks and Landscape Manager, change to Parks and Recreation Manager, as her functions have changed over the past year and a half, as well as from Administrative Assistant to Administrative Assistant/Board Clerk. Carol's been fulfilling the job now for 3 years and recently conducted a Board Clerk workshop or Board Clerk course and up in Napa, I believe, and was recognized for that. And so please be able to present that to the board for consideration. Neither of those recommendations, however, have any monetary consequences associated with them. The position schedule is included in the budget document. A little bit further on, we'll get to that in a minute. And if you're on page 5, you can see the summary chart of the proposed, the adopted 13-14 versus proposed 14-15, where we stand. The contributions to reserve, which is to be determined, will be identified once we close out the year. That'll take place in August. We don't know what we're gonna have left until we pay all the bills. We are anticipating, however, a surplus of revenues over expenditures. I will say, though, that this year is probably going to be tight, and I will get to some of those reasons as we get into the O&M budget itself. We continue to fund the Infrastructure Replacement Fund at $525,000, as we've done over the past few years. As of June 30th of this year, actually as of right now, we've got $1,395,000 in that account. And if you look to, there is an attachment, the single page that was handed out. There's a chart, there's a page in the budget that addresses this, but when Dean and I were going through this afternoon, you can see what's in red. We're going to draw down, and it's part of the CIP, and we'll get to that later. But that shows what our reserves are, and I bring it up in light of Mark Croce's comments with respect to the reserves and the amount of reserves that we have that we're building up. We have the infrastructure reserves, and those are for infrastructure replacement. Those are for buildings and facilities, generators. Those are for water main replacements, not repairs, and those are for sewer line replacements in the event that happens. We know we've got a very large water line replacement project from the end of Discovery Bay Boulevard all the way to this location. That's going to be about a 2-mile run there, and that's going to be taking place in a couple of years. So we're building up reserves for that. Our $3 million in reserves, if you recall, when we were at the governance conference up in Napa, one of the conversations in the finance module talked about having a minimum, they would recommend a six-month operations in reserves, and we do meet that. The board has a policy of maintaining a $3 million reserve. We built that up to approximately $4.2 million over the past couple of years. We borrowed from it, and we've always replenished it. I think it's a good business practice to do. And I have been making sure that hopefully we're putting more money into reserves, because as you know, the Regional Water Control Board meeting last week, we got two big new projects coming down the road. One we were aware of, which is the filtration, which will be funded partially by current ratepayers, and also new development, as well as the nitrate program, which is the same thing. It looks like it's going to be a 60-40 split, 60% being new and 40% being old, or current residents. So in order to reduce the amount of debt that we would incur in the future, I've been slowly trying to build up those base reserves for that very purpose. And we'll discuss some of those as we get into the CIP. If you go through the budget document, if starting on page 7, it just gives a summary of all of what we do. It's the same document that's been in there in past years. And as you turn to page 13, it shows the current pay scale has not changed. Page 14 is our organizational chart. And the authorized position schedule is on page 15, and that is that is part of the budget. And that position schedule has to be adopted by the board. And when the board adopts the budget on the 18th of June, that position schedule will be adopted concurrently with that resolution. And this is the schedule that I work with my staff in terms of the number of positions and the job titles that I can work with. If I need to change job titles or add staff, I have to enlist a replacement, and I have to come to you. Turning the page on the program summaries, you can see, for example, on page 18. In my department, general manager, there are accomplishments that have taken place over the course of the past year, as well as some objectives to moving forward. And as you go through the budget, you will see that in each of the program areas. Those objectives are the things that we had discussed previously as a board, internally at staff level, things we want to move forward, and nothing in here really should jump out at you as something you haven't heard previously. Moving on to page 30. You with me? Page 30 is the revenue page. Yeah. Where the money comes from. And if you have a question about any of those program areas or the goals, objectives, accomplishments, we can talk about them now, we can talk about them later, you can call me offline. We can discuss them so they can be discussed if there are things you want to see next week. The revenue for 2014-2015, it's a revenue chart for the past four years, plus next year as well, the next 2 years, I should say. And we show towards the bottom, you'll see a line item there that says grant, $200,000. This is water wastewater revenues for the most part. We see a grant for $200,000, as well as developer deposit holding account. We're spending some of those funds on some of the projects that are required for new development. We're using some of the infrastructure replacement funds that we put aside each year, $25,000 for a new roof at building number, at well house building number two, the well two's roof. And we have some, I didn't say that very clearly. The roof at well house number two needs to be replaced, let's put it that way. And then the infrastructure sewer replacement fund, we have some valve replacement project, as well as a lift station rehab project. And then next year, I don't recall what the 115 is. It's in the budget. We get to that when we get to that point. Dina was able to, at Director Pease's request, get more colors to the graphs. And I think we have hopefully a more colorful chart that gives it a little bit better breakdown and not reusing the same number, the same colors over and over. Page 33 will be replaced with what you just looked at. which is that 8.5 by 11 handout. We will drop that chart in and replace that one with this one, so we can see what the drawdown will be on some of those accounts and what they're going for. As you know, the O&M budget are generally our day-to-day operations. It's our business plan. It's what we use to run the day-to-day operations of the district. Generally speaking, unless there's some major changes to the programs and operations and you add or subtract something, it pretty much stays relatively constant from year to year. It'll go up, it'll go down a little bit, but for the most part, it's a pretty steady chart. Generally, it's a pretty steady program. Capital can vary year to year by millions and millions of dollars depending on the projects that are in the capital project program. And we, as you know, we have a 5-year capital program outlay. If you turn the page to page 35, and Dina's going to take over here, what you see on page 35 and 36 is a breakdown. We have a program budget. We don't use what's commonly referred to as a line item budget. So we break the costs associated with certain program areas. So you see we've got the water division, the operations and maintenance. We've got wastewater, operations and maintenance, and it's broken down completely. And I know in the past the board has liked to see it, and I refer to it as an all-in-one-place location. And the first set of charts that you have, eight, that are 11 by 17, and they say at the very top, TODB operations and maintenance, and it looks like this. Pages 35, 36 are condensed versions of what is on these three pages. So if you look at what's on 35 and 36, you have to use some math and add them up. So we thought it'd be easier if we just put them all, combine them all in one location so you can see what the numbers are from the standpoint of the overall operation maintenance budget versus breaking it down by different program areas. Anybody have any questions about what we've gone over so far? Okay, Nina?
Here is salary and wages. You see a budget versus actual of $270,000. The salary and wages goes through April. I did not have 3 minutes to put in journal. I usually journal in the salary and wages. I just have not had the time to do it. So the rest of the expenses are through the end of May, so May 31st. Okay, so all the actuals. You can definitely see a difference with the salary and wages. It used to see it all on one line or two lines or three lines. Now I have it broken out. I discussed this with the auditors as salary and wages, overtime, and employer taxes. So those are the only three lines you're going to see going forward. Okay. Jump out on this first page would be in contract services. It's going to be PNC large replacement. So that's something that's new this year. We put in $100,000 into that, and what that is, it's preventative and corrective large replacement. And then we also have a preventative and corrective for $107,000 budget. Those were the small items for Veolia.
Let me pop in here. This was a discussion we had at the subcommittee level, and it's a discussion we've had with internally with Veolia as well. Contractually, Veolia has a $107,000 budget for items that are under $3,500 over the course of the year. Things just happen over the course of the year. Things break, things need to be replaced, that sort of thing. They're very relatively small items. We were getting a lot of larger bills, and you can see at $122,000 already for this year without a budget. And those were for much larger pumps and motors and some of the heavy lifting. We were robbing Peter to pay Paul. So further on in the budget, you'll see we have a reduction of some line items, or one item specifically that helps address this. And we move money from one location to another. So as we move forward, you'll see what the changes.
One major increase that you're going to notice in 14-15 and 15-16 is on consulting services. That is item number 7271. We had an original budget of $210,000. We've spent $220,000 so far, and next year we budgeted $383,000. That's a substantial increase. And those are for some of the special studies that we need to do, GIS, SSPP. We talked with Greg, and we increased that $120,000 for those studies. It also includes a records retention program that we're going to be doing for $17,300, and a safety program, which is $36,000.
I'm going to jump in here and discuss those as well. As you know, the Regional Water Board in their permit that they're going to, assuming there are not any challenges to it, the first work day after the 4th of July, there are certain steps that we have to take, and there's a number of studies we have to conduct. So we've gone ahead and put those studies into the budget for this coming fiscal year. If you recall, over the course of this past year, we brought a number of things to you. Specifically, I recall one was when we approved the the design contract for the filtration project. And if you remember, that project was initially budgeted for next fiscal year. We moved it up, and I mentioned at the time that I'm not going to ask for a budget amendment right now because I want to see where the budget falls out and see if we need it. And so that's the reason why you're seeing that $10,000 overage.
Any questions on page one?
Any questions?
No. One quick note is that on the wastewater service contract, I actually got the contract from Veolia, so it decreased from what I had for a budget number, about $9,000. So I can make that correction.
Yes. Rick, you mentioned, or one of the two you mentioned, I think it's Eugene, I mentioned document retention.
Yes.
And there's, because we're going to be getting rid of a lot of our paperwork to transfer to a digital system, is that what that cost is?
Yeah.
Yes. For efficiency?
We are, and also what I'm
searchable and all that stuff, right?
Fully searchable.
Okay.
Yes.
If you recall at the workshop back in January, you should picture the rooms filled with boxes that are meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
And before we move on to page two, Dina did mention the safety program. I felt it important. I notified the board, and we got a proposal. We did an initial assessment. For a relatively small amount of money, I think it was $2,500, to come out and assess our operational structure with respect to safety and safety programs. We haven't really had a safety program in the past. I felt that with some of the workers' comp issues we've had in the recent past, that it's important that we have that. And so there's a monthly charge of that of $3,000, and they actually come out. They come out twice a month, they do tailgate meetings with our staff, they do trainings, they go through all of our safety manuals. It's a very robust program, it's an ongoing program. The company that we're recommending to use is a company that is that does this specifically for public agencies, a lot of cities and special districts. And before we enter into that contract, it will come back to the board so that you'll see who it is and what they'll be doing and what you're getting from the market.
So on page two, if you want to go down to general repairs pumps, we typically budget $100,000 for that. As you can see, we've only spent about $17,000 for that. We budgeted for next year $30,000. So we took that $100,000 and we moved it to the large PNC large. So that's where we got that money from. We got $30,000 there.
I just got a question. When we spend over $21,000 a year for telephones for our district?
For our telephone system, our telephone system is brand new.
It's brand complete.
Yeah, but why is it $21,000 a year? That's like
because we have.
We spent $16,000 on general, $2,500 on networking, and we spent $3,900 on cellular.
I know. I'm looking at our budget for you're proposing. It seems like those are costs. Telephone is so cheap now. I'm just amazed that it's not $39 magic jack. I mean, come on.
We spend over $900 a month on telephones.
Do we?
The BOIP system.
The multi-line system.
Okay. Anyway,
We were spending the same amount of money, almost the same amount of money for three lines previously. Now we've got, like, I think 100 lines you could actually have to go in and out. It's a much, much better system. It's a contract system through Megapath. It's a system run through Megapath.
Thank you.
Yeah, general repairs, the next line item down. We have a budget of $550. You can see we're already at $503. For the first time in a number of years, this budget used to be about $100,000, and we were blowing it. And about 3 years ago, we came to the board and increased it to what traditionally had been, and it was in the $550,000 range. We will probably, that $47,000, $46,900 that's sitting there, that will probably all be gone, and it may be a negative number. We may end up blowing that budget. We've had a lot of major water leaks just this month alone. We had one over next door to Bill Peace, I think, this weekend. We had a large one on the boulevard today. We had two other large ones, and each one of those is about $10,000.
One's going to change the budget. So this one's a little over.
Possibly,
yes. I'm just giving you a heads up, right? So that if you see $47,000 there to the good, if it's in parentheses, that's good.
Right.
If you see $47,000 to the good, what's going to end up happening? That will probably become a number without parentheses on it. Right. I hope not. We're not sure. Virgil and I were discussing that earlier. It's just been a bad year.
The aging infrastructure.
It's just been a bad year.
Right.
And they're all happening on Beaver.
Going to be what it's going to be. There's nothing we can do about it. Well, you should have taken care of the water street.
Yeah.
I did.
Bill's actually broke earlier in the year, too.
It did, yeah. Second one within 500 feet. I don't want to get into it too much, but I just, because it was just brought up, I was very impressed with the company. I stayed around kind of, because I didn't know and hadn't seen what they
did. This weekend or when you were?
No, this weekend. And how they went about doing what they were doing. They had traffic control guys out there. I have a more deeper understanding of why the costs are the way they are based on what they've done. So
that's expensive.
Okay.
I got a question on page two. Do we really have computer software? Do we have to buy more software next year? I mean, do we just upgrade all of our systems? Just $10,000 budgeted? Really, Microsoft's charging us that? Or?
It's not Microsoft, actually. What we do put in there is sometimes I do Casella upgrades, and what I've been looking at is their accounting system. And we have right now, the system that we have right now, we don't have one module. And this module might help us track our CIPs a little bit better and encumber the money a little bit better. And so I was kind of looking at
module
that module.
Tool.
Yeah, it's a
okay.
module tool. And it's
thanks.
Fairly pricey. So.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
yet?
Office supplies, postage, office furniture.
How did we double the office supplies?
That's a very good question.
Yes.
And it's one that we will be addressing internally as we do that. We use Office Depot almost exclusively, and we've been having a conversation recently about this, and that we need to do a better job of trying to get more competitive pricing on some of these things. And while we do get the best government pricing out of Office Depot, there might be other better locations to get things instead of going to Office Depot for this, this, and this. Maybe the last item is better to get it somewhere else, but then you have the cost of, then there's the additional staff time involved in it. So we're going to sit down and have a conversation about that.
We know what we bought with $7,500 more than we.
It's the ink toners, it's paper, it's supplies. I mean, you see, we haven't bought a new copier. We don't have new. There's nothing really new. It's just the cost.
iPads, right?
It's
toilet paper.
It's toilet paper. It's cleaning supplies. It's paper. Yeah, it's everything that takes place.
Have anything to do with the community center stuff that we buy for them?
No.
They don't
not
want
on this budget. Not on this budget.
Yeah.
It's
pretty.
For the spectators.
Permits and fees,
yes.
We left it at $40,000. We spent pretty darn close to it. We're 8 cents off, so that was.
These are all the permits we have to get for all of our water plans through the state water, not the water board, but through Department of Health.
And water board.
And water board, so it's the permits for those regulatory agencies.
NPDES NOV fines. We budgeted $25,000. We actually spent $15,000. Next year we budgeted the typical $25,000 and the year after $25,000 as well. Our electrical costs, we've budgeted $755,000. Next year we bumped it up to $775,000 and $800,000 the year after. The reason being is because of all the new CIP projects. Probably going to cost us some more money.
Why did chemicals drop so much this year? It's going back up next year.
Polymer.
The chemicals, yeah. The chemicals, we used to budget $100,000 a year. We would blow through that $100,000, and we got that great deal with San Ramon Consortium, and we went from $2 a gallon to 43 cents a gallon for our chlorine. The polymer is still very expensive, and with the two new Bell presses, we expect the polymer cost to go up. We did get our numbers just recently on the chlorine, and it stayed constant, so we're happy with that. We actually could probably lower that a little bit. I'm not sure exactly how much. We weren't sure what the number was going to be because they were out to bid, and that was just open, I believe, the week before last. We can take another look at that one. We might be able to drop that a little bit. I probably wouldn't go below 50, but we could probably drop it from 62.5 to 50.
Why were there so many miscellaneous bank charges?
We didn't typically budget well for those, and what they are they're all our credit card charges, our fees, return check fees, which we do pass on to if we get a balance check, but they do charge us for those, our bank account fees, merchant fees, those kind of things. So.
Right, but why are you only at 500 then?
Oh.
That was left as an oversight. And I have a question right above that UPS. You have 300 for the 1 year, then the next year you jump it to 800. That's quite a jump in UPS fees.
Part of the problem there, and I know that looks like an odd number to go from 300 to 800, but a lot of the UPS charges that we have are project related. We've got a couple of big projects that are going to be really busy under construction, so that's the primary reason for that. You know, and it's in UPS, FedEx, they're not cheap anymore.
No, they're not.
$12 to mail packages.
And miscellaneous that we're not even carrying another 15, 16, 25.
On the third page?
Yeah.
It's 7532. Those were an allocation of costs that were associated with the districts, the water and sewer funds proportionate share of the acquisition of the community center site. Not the cost to purchase it, but all the legal fees and everything else. And they didn't get booked properly in 12-13, so we're correcting it this year. So that's why you see that.
Same as bad debt. You got bad debt in it for $37,000.
That's the one I was telling you about when the auditors were here. We would be showing it to you this evening. I may have misspoke. The 25 and 12, does it correspond to their resource? Were as part of the transaction from QuickBooks to Excel and getting everything lined up properly. These are expenses that we had to make, but we also had offsetting revenue. So there's in our revenues, there's an offsetting revenue for that line item.
Which one are you talking about?
The same one you were mentioning, the 25912. What I was referring to
is $11,000.
It's the $11,000 one.
It's down on line item 7538.
This down a couple line items further. That those are the costs associated, the district's costs associated with the acquisition of the community center. I'm not sure that inspection is all the right name, because there were some legal fees involved in that as well. But it was a lot of the inspection fees for the soils and that sort of thing.
We're on to bad debt. So we wrote off $37,000 of bad debt next year. Rick and I were talking about this before. We're going to put in about a $5,000 budget. That might be high. We've definitely changed utility. They are shut off if they do not pay. They cannot get their water turned on unless they pay their bill and all fees associated with it. And there is no exception.
She's a bulldog. Trust me. I've seen her in action.
Yes. I've been yelled at a few times. But we collect our money. So
that is basically, go down the property tax to 7555. It's four lines up from the bottom. There's a $10,000 budget for that, and we spent $9,100 this year. You'll see $10,000 next year and $10,000 the following year. I just caught this afternoon. We're gonna lower that $10,000 to $3,000 each year coming up. As some of you are aware, the wastewater treatment plant on the side of the highway is not within our district boundary, and so we need to go through LAFCO and do an annexation of that. I was not aware of that until sometime in the last year, and I've been discussing this with Luann, and it hit our municipal services review, which was adopted today by the LAFCO board. I'm assuming you were there, Chris, correct? Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be working on doing that. If a public agency owns property outside their district boundary, they pay property taxes just like anybody else does. And so we've been paying property taxes on there for the past few years. And so we're going to move that off the books, off the county books, and get it on incorporated into our sphere of influence so that we can then not have to pay property taxes. We still pay small assessments and fees, just like you would have in your property taxes. There's Rec 800 is in there. We don't pay the bonds, those sorts of things, the school district stuff. But we do have to pay some of those other smaller miscellaneous items for every little teeny tiny parcel we own. And some of those bills are literally a dollar, 39 cents. They're kind of numerous when you see the actual bill. So that's basically the O&M for the water and wastewater fund. And again, like we mentioned, it tracks the same as is on page 35 and 36 of the budget document. This just gives it to you all in one location. If you wanted to know what it was for each area, you would go to the document on page, into the budget document itself. Any questions?
For the final document then, I will do the reductions that we discussed. Chemicals. I'll do the increase for miscellaneous bank charges. I will add in the $5,000 for bad debt, and I will reduce the property tax $3,000. And I'll highlight $3,000. Yes, and then I will just highlight those. And
then you're lowering the loan, which is 62.5 down
to 50.
Down to 50.
To 50,000 in chemicals. Yep. Okay.
Rick, the last water wastewater meeting that we had. The last water wastewater meeting that we had, we discussed. I think those expenses you've already addressed, and they've been included in the budget, right?
They are. They're in the CIP, and we'll get to that once we get through parks and landscapes budget.
Okay. Some of that was coming out of the reserve, out of infrastructure reserve, and those are the ones you mentioned.
Those are the ones that were highlighted in a single sheet in red. We caught that today. We wanted to show where we're drawing money down from.
Right. Thank you.
Next.
So where are we on the multi-color map?
Yes, capital.
Erin's got a, she has a, as it gets darker, she is actually going this evening to do the test run, dry run, if you will, for Friday night's first showing of the movies in the park. So I told her I would put her in front of capital so I can get her out of here. So that's why she's going on. So we are going to,
let's go on zone 8, aren't we?
We're going to these sheets now that are not horizontal, they're vertical. I don't know why they're vertical.
Is the arrow on? Is the arrow?
He's been here yesterday.
Wow.
I'm passing around a breakout of some of the major costs associated with doing our landscaping in-house. Director Peace had requested some additional information on that at our last meeting, so that is coming around when we get there. If we're going to take a look at the large Zone 8 spreadsheet, multiple pages, it does include the community center as well as the traditional original Zone 8 budget together. The revenues codes at the top there include everything from the community center as well as the assessments for Zone 8. And then broken down below, page 1 and the top part of page 2 are the Zone 8 expenses. The bottom page of Zone page 2 and page 3 are community center.
So the purple line is the designator of the two. Aaron?
Yes, correct. I'm sorry. I didn't hear the question.
Take a bit.
On page 2.
Page 2. Remember that we had we had put everything on one sheet, had the purple line, and that kind of separated out.
That's the purple line?
Page
2, and it's about two-thirds of the way down, there's two purple lines.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. That.
It was purple.
Yeah.
Okay. So the purple line, the first break is community center?
This top half is Zone 8.
Right.
After the purple line,
the revenues, though, on the very top of page 1 are combined. So the top part is more of the assessments for Zone 8, and below are the community center program revenues. So we did start this year fund balance for Zone 8 higher than we thought we were going to, about $107,000 positive. We were budgeted $229,000, we came in at $337,000. Our property taxes, I'm sorry, did we bring the 470 out? That's where we were, right? 470, okay. We also had an increase in our property tax collection by about $16,000. The reimbursables here that you see, landscape related reimbursables, those are those are vehicle reimbursements that we charge all of our costs associated with running trucks and equipment into the county zones are billed at the Caltrans rate back to the county. Those, because Zone 8 and 9 cover all of those costs up front, those are reimbursements back from the county. The second line, 5177, are payroll reimbursements back from the county. So it's not just our payroll hours, but a portion of overhead costs as well, which covers some of our cell phone expenses, electrical, things that we can't direct bill. We did receive the WW grant funds back next year. I skipped something. On the reimbursements for next year, that $50,000 that we're seeing in the 14-15 year, that is a request. There's a capital improvement for the swimming pool for replastering at the end of the season, which would be in the 14-15 year. That money would be coming out of the community center fund that we have, separate of Zone 8.
Can I interject here?
Yes.
For a second? Certainly a board discretionary decision. The community center fund is the fund that has the developer deposit money in it that we maintain. It's in a bank account at ECC Bank. It originally had about $525,000 in it. It now has, I believe, about $500,000 in it, Dina, is that about right?
Yeah.
And we used about $50,000 to do the transaction with the community, to purchase community center. And then we got reimbursed the church's portion, so that's why it's back up about $500,000. So the board does have options that they can choose to do with that. They can either take it from that account or they can take it from Zone 8 reserves. We believe that this was a prudent use of those funds, but certainly that's your discretionary call.
Uh, going down. We did receive the grant money back, $400,000. Next year, the $65,000 that we have budgeted here is would also be used for the community center for the benefit of the tennis courts, redoing some of the windscreens and surfacing as much as we can do for the money. That is all that is left in the WW grant fund if we choose to use it that way.
Sorry, where's that?
$65,000 in the 14-15 year under line 5179.
It's a grant. Thank you.
And excuse me, I did misspeak earlier. The $10,000 that you saw in the reimbursements 5177 is actually some funds also from the Community Center Fund above, and then these are the payroll reimbursements from the county below. So the $10,000 is actually the money for the security cameras that you guys budgeted and approved earlier this year to come from that fund, as well as the sign.
Why
so those are those two.
Why is everything shown as a negative balance? Why is everything in parentheses?
Because revenues are only shown as a credit, and a credit is a negative.
Counting.
Hey, Kevin, I've been fighting this battle for 3 years.
Wasn't on the other sheet.
Yeah, it was.
Most irritating thing
ever.
Huh?
It's the most
irritating thing.
Oh, it's irritating.
Accountants do it.
Mess with their minds.
Just don't look at the parentheses.
You're looking in the mirror.
So you're negatively bringing in money. Okay.
Okay. Down below, we have the community center program fees of $25,000 for next year. We're expecting to end this year at $21,000. 80% of those, that directly correlates to the expenses for our contractors who are holding those classes. So right now, most of our contracts are 80-20 split, 80% to our contractors, 20% to us. Community center events, we brought in $6,700 this year for event sponsorships or vendors who came in to be at some of our events. We haven't done that in the past, and it's our first year. I think going, Chris had mentioned that some of these in future years look underestimated, and I do agree that they, from where we stand, it does look like that, but we felt there wasn't a long enough historical average or information to go off of to guess that higher and fall short. And so I'd rather come in above next year and then have a little bit of data to be able to estimate the following year. But what we worked on was a half year with events that were just getting started. So the swim team, all of those revenues that were brought in have been expended for the use of the swim team this year. There were a lot of startup costs, but in subsequent years that should be bringing in positive amounts. It's been a huge success there. Our rentals, $4,500, we up to $5,000 next year. We've been doing fairly well with our rentals, more of the outdoor park rentals than the facility rentals. Community center apparel, again, just low, it's a small number. Beverages and food are doing well, but again, not enough numbers to go off of to guess that higher. The community center pool fees, we did up a little bit to $7,500 from $4,800 this year. We'll be looking at a full year. We've been doing pretty well with the pool the last couple weekends. But the revenues for the pool have gone down just over this last weekend because a lot of people were buying the swim passes for the season, and we're getting reoccurring visits now. So while our first two weekends were pretty large, we're getting a lot of reoccurring visitors, and the revenue has gone down. Moving on to expenses, one of the biggest changes you'll see is for Zone 8 as well as the community center is a jump in salary and wages. Two things are leading to this. One.
So keep going. Don't worry about this.
No, let me explain it. It's a data pull out of Castell. When you enter revenue into Castell, you enter it as a credit. Okay.
So what is this?
So that's what it is.
We know. You have more money there than you've spent at the moment, so you have a credit.
And it'll be an offsetting charge to it someplace.
That's okay. So two of the reasons that the salary and wages are going up is, one, we are using a fully burdened rate. This is not something that we've done in the past, and it's helping us to collect our money back from the county and to simplify the process of, I guess, balancing out our time between the zones. Secondarily is also the increase to staffing time in order to handle maintenance of zone meat. At this point, I'm going to switch over to the handout I gave you just so that you can see some of those numbers. The first page here is a complete breakdown, the top half, of where our fully burdened rate, so that's not exactly our salary, but what it costs to pay us, our insurance, our taxes, everything, how that breaks down by hours. So these are broken down, these dollar amounts, by hours we're estimating to spend in the zones. So the main cost for, you turn the page as far as, actually I think it's the last page, I'm sorry, I'm going to skip around, but when you wanted just a breakdown of our major costs for doing maintenance in-house, the biggest costs are labor, and that correlates to that front page of Steve and Corey's labor in the field for Zone 8, which will all be directly related to in-house. This will get broken down further into a schedule that I discussed that is being formatted for the Landscape Committee to review as well. But that's the dollar amount that's budgeted. That budget is based on hours. There are more hours in the summer that they'll be working there than in the winter. And then the costs associated with doing our landscape activities, keeping to the standards, our landscape standards. So all of these things would, our costs associated with that. It's broken down into our budget under salary and wages, as well as there's a landscape general fund in there as well. The other two sheets in there are just our measurements on turf and shrub beds, just kind of for your information. This is how we do our estimates on how much time it's going to take, our fertilizer takeoffs, what the costs are associated with, you know, square footages and areas and production rates. Are there questions on the handout before I go back to the budget? You're not going to see any group insurance or workers' comp in the following years, again, because that's rolled up into our salary and wages now. Temporary employees, same, we don't have any. All of our employees are seasonal part-time or full-time employees, and that is under salary and wages. Other major changes, everything's...
Before you leave that, sure. The temporary employees... You see the number 4191. If there's a vacancy and we need to backfill the position for a period of time, we will have a temporary employee, but then you're going to have salary savings to offset that. And during the course of the year, if you recall, we did have a temporary employee working at Farron, and that position has since been filled by Monica, so we're not anticipating any next year. But if it does happen, you know why.
I'm not seeing anything on this front page that stands out, unless there's a question moving before I switch that. There is a small increase to our vehicle equipment, supplies and repairs, because of the maintenance cost. That is an increase from doing regular maintenance, sharpening of blades, things that we have to replace. Our fuel did not go up, and I'm not anticipating to go up. They're here every day. Now it's not going to change because they're switching from maintenance to from one to the other. Again, most of these costs for next year, we kept the same or lowered. Cleaning supplies did go up. this is Cornell, I'm sorry, the budget went down there. We're just not spending the cost. It was most of the supplies, we used to buy them ourselves, I'm sorry, and now it's included in our janitorial contract.
Fern, what's happened with equipment rentals and leasing? 7439. We were 500, 724, gone up to 2,000.
Oh, because there will be some equipment rentals necessary for some of the work that we're doing next year. That can actually be lowered because every year we've been doing chipping of our Christmas trees. I think that program's going to stop next year, at least from our department wise. And so there was $1,000 that was budgeted into there for that. So that can be removed. I can lower that to $1,000. And then, so we increased the other 500 for an aerator for the park.
With respect to the Christmas trees, if I can talk about that with you, because I think this would actually be a good conversation to have. We have historically partnered with the Boy Scouts, and I believe for $5 a tree.
It's a donation. Somebody makes a donation. Actual homeowner makes a donation to the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, like $5 a tree to pick it up, or whatever the dollar amount is. Yeah. And so that's a fundraiser for the Boy Scouts. And we've been doing that over the last number of years. As long as I've been here, I don't know how long before that. And it's been a good partnership. It's been something that I think has been good for the Boy Scouts. But we're getting to the point where it's costing us more money than they're probably earning on the donations by renting chippers, staff time to chip the trees. While we do use the mulch in our parks, it's not the best mulch that we can use. And so we've had conversations about telling the Boy Scouts we might need to have them find a different location to move their trees next year, or later this year, I should say. So,
well, who would take care of that? That service, like where do Christmas trees go?
They go to
the green bucket.
Garbage guys.
The disposal company will take them away for free. If you cut them in half, they take them away for free.
The Boy Scouts use that as their major income revenue for camping and other activities, and it's mainly Discovery Bay residents, Boy Scouts.
And Odyssey or I guess our contractors don't have that equipment or something. Or?
We'd almost be better off, I think, to, you know, the Boy Scouts help us out too, and they provide services to us, and they help out in some of our projects. It might be better to make a donation to the local Boy Scouts on behalf at the end of the year, on behalf of the services that they contribute to us. Just something to consider. It's not unheard of, but it takes time. It takes about 2 weeks, a week.
Don't they normally have a program where they just haul them away? And the Boy Scouts do it where they come in trucks and pick them up.
Yeah, they come in trucks and take them up. They take them to our yard, they dump them, and then we have to get rid of them. We have to wait for them to dry out, and then mulch them this time of year when everything's completely dried out. We mulch them. So that's why we're renting the chipper. We've got guys, our staff is doing it. It's very time consuming.
Isn't that cheaper than buying expensive mulch?
No.
No, if our staff's doing it.
No. The rental itself for the tree for the unit is $1,600, and then with the gas in it, and then our staff is on it for the week.
You couldn't hire Davy Trees to come out mulch for a day for $1,000.
That pile, Director Steele, is probably 10 feet tall or taller by 150 feet long.
Burning Man, watch out.
It's a massive pile of trees.
But there's also a lot of bushes, tree limbs we put in there.
Yeah, well, we contribute to it. There's no question.
We got time to talk about this.
Yeah, but that's kind of what we're thinking.
Yeah.
So if you hear about it.
So to answer your question, though, Director Simon, I had not budgeted enough in previous years, and I was trying to correct it, but now because that might be going away, we can put it back. So as far as the increase to that.
But we have a mulching program.
We do, yeah. Mm-hmm. So the facility maintenance landscape, 7440, that is, again, that 50,000 is most of what you're seeing on the breakdown. There are some additional costs that you don't see on there that aren't associated directly with like landscape maintenance, like backflow testing, things that we don't pay our in-house staff to do, but it's part of that 50,000. Building maintenance, that is all of that is associated with the buildings at Cornell Park. Insurance liability, can't do any, it is what it is. PPE is a new code this year. Historically, and those are, you guys have asked this before, or it had come up in our review of the budget on what some of our miscellaneous fees or special expenses were. And a lot of that had been for this type of thing, like personal protective equipment. And so instead of just lumping it all together as a miscellaneous expense, we're trying to break that out. And again, that's also part of that safety program, is ensuring that we're getting the proper attire and safety equipment for our staff. Electrical cost, $80,000. It is a little bit lower than what we had expected for this year. Water cost is up from last year, and those are just typical increases that we've been seeing on our water bills and our rates. We pay the same rates. Pool's not here. Pool's down below. Utilities and waste costs, those are just our dumpsters for Cornell Park. Again, those miscellaneous services and supplies that we're trying to get rid of. That one is the only one I think we're keeping, and special expenses. Special expenses, the $4,000 down below, those are like our Christmas lights where they come put them up, they store them for the year. That's the major expense into that code. It's about $2,300. And then there's some, then there's just a buffer there. Anything else that you guys have questions on the Zone 8 budget?
I have a question. Sure. Only because somewhere I read or heard that PG&E is going to have a rate increase. So
sort of.
Was that factored into this?
Well, no. That's actually, there was a bill that passed that is, it already passed, and PG&E is working on a third tariff to offer to government agencies, which would allow them. They have a solar light or a conversion, not solar, LED. So going from the high sodium vapor lights that we have in town, we historically have not been able to switch those out to LEDs because we don't own those poles. And the programs that PG&E has rolled out in the past or through the state and those grant programs, you had to own your poles to qualify. The new law that passed is, makes PG&E offer that on the poles that they own to government agencies. So now they're working on this third tariff, and so we're hoping it would be a contract with them that would come back, and it's more of they'll come in and they'll do all these modifications, and even though you would have saved $50,000 a year, you're going to pay $40,000 to pay back this over X amount of years, and we'll decide if that works out best for us at a later date, but that's supposed to be coming. Below the purple line is community center, significant increase to salary and wages again, two reasons. One, it's a full year, and the first one was only half a year starting, it was about 8 months, I think. And then also, that is a fully burdened rate, something we weren't seeing before. You can see that breakdown in the spreadsheet I gave you as well, as far as the community center staff payroll.
Karen, I'm sorry, does the fully burdened rate include items such as the cost of their cell phone use, their uniforms, that sort of thing? Or is that separated out?
That's separate.
But when we charge the county, that's part of the burden rate that goes back to the county.
It's not part of the burdened rate, it's part of the overhead.
Okay, well. I'm using the wrong term.
Yeah, there's an additional charge that we give them. Okay, it's a percentage.
Yep.
So the reason that the salaries actual and next year's budgeted, this year's are half what next year's budgeted are, is because we don't see what's already been spent?
Okay, I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
So if you look at line 4041, 8,000.
Yes.
The budgeted salaries for 2000 and whatever the first one is, because there's no title.
77,000?
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever year that's for is half of one, less than half of 156,000.
Yeah, that wasn't a full year. We did not have the center open until January 1st.
Now, what's interesting is that when Zone 8 has been open forever, and the salaries for Zone 8 went from 32,000 to 89,000.
Because it's going in-house. So before my staff used to travel around.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah.
So you presented a budget to us based on what you're proposing to us, but yet we haven't seen the proposal of what we're doing. Why are we basing a budget on what we would like to have instead of what we actually have?
Well, we've been talking about this for a long time. I mean, there's just no, that there's not money to continue to operate with a maintenance contractor as well as the staff our staff model. So one or the other is going to change. What I'm putting before you is changing not our staffing model.
If the board recalls, and Director Graves, if you remember back in October, there was a Barter Wells report that provided a 5-year cash flow analysis.
Yep.
That preferred alternative recommended this process taking place, moving, transitioning out of the contract for Zone 8 landscape and doing that in-house.
Based on
the funding revenue source that we have. Zone 8 is going to be a constrained revenue, and so it had to do with loosening that up a little
bit. So this was their recommendation, or this came up after dialogue with staff about a possibility?
It came about after a number of options and considerations, and was the preferred alternative was presented to the board, and the board accepted that preferred alternative.
How long ago was that?
It was October. It was October 23rd of 2013.
All right, thank you.
I think we talked about the budget workshop again as well. This was presented at that time.
That was the budget workshop.
October. I thought we did it in February. No. Okay. My. Sorry.
It's okay. I just.
It was.
I make sure
it was
that
one.
I was it correctly.
It was one
yeah,
of the.
We do a budget. Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
This took place at a. It was.
It's
it
come
was
up
a workshop.
A couple times,
it
yeah.
was at a workshop, and it took place when the whole board and the community center committee were all here. Signed. Yeah. It was a joint meeting of the committee and the board.
I think I would have preferred to have had that plan come to us before the budget came to us, so we could actually see it and know what we're asking to vote for. That whole transition plan and the cost effectiveness of it, what's feasible, what's not feasible, prior to us just having it incorporated into the budget.
Well, I think that the direction the board gave back in October gave us that direction to do that.
Okay.
And that's why it was included at this time.
Okay.
It's certainly your discretion.
But no.
We still need, because I'm not voting for this, like, for the breakdown. Before we vote on this, I mean, I understand we're going through the budget, and this part's all wonderful, but this, yes, we want to bring it in-house, but I want to know what this entails. I mean, I'm not voting on anything based on just because we want to bring it in-house.
And I think we're going to have that conversation this evening.
Maybe we're not, because I'm not sure exactly.
I have
what
no
is it
idea
that you,
what it's going to cost us. I have no idea if it entails adding more vehicles.
I just gave that to you.
Okay, but what if the contract we have now, who are we giving up? How much are we giving up money-wise?
It's the revenue side. Yeah.
What's our cost savings?
Sorry, so we're at $97,000 a year for our contract with Odyssey.
Okay.
And that does not include, so it's $97,000 just for regular maintenance. That does not include the mulching program that you're on that breakdown I gave you on what it was going to cost for us to do maintenance. That is not a mulching program. That's not the 85. That's $97,000 plus $50,000 of extra expenses, irrigation repairs, tree repairs. That's we're spending about $150,000 right now on landscape.
But we're going to be still doing those exact same repairs in-house. We're still going to have to pay somebody to do it. Does this mean more vehicles? Is there going to be more?
We have vehicles. We have the equipment, except for there's $2,500 in CIP for extra blower. So each truck can have a blower. We have one right now. It's like blowers and a couple extra chainsaws, small tools.
And how many more employees?
None.
So here's my question.
because they won't be doing anything that they've been doing before. And that was in the
budget. Who's going to do that?
Nobody. We don't have money for it. So we used to have extra surplus money before we bought the community center to do all of these capital improvement projects, small and medium. Newport Lane, Clipper Drive, Discover Bay Boulevard, little things here, replantings. We did Newport and Zone 61. We're working on doing irrigation on Point of Timber right now. All of those projects that we've historically done in-house, we do not have money for in Zone 8 anymore, which is where originally we had this $1 million reserve that was in a five-year plan on what we were going to do with all of our capital improvements. I brought all these projects to you guys and identified priorities, and we were going to do this all in-house to save money, and that doesn't exist under the model with the community center anymore. We cannot do that.
I think the confusion for me, I'm looking at what's going on in this town now, and we're barely able to cover anything, and we have a contractor. When that contractor goes away, the guys that we have that are working here and working there are going to be pulled from that job to go do the landscaping, which means something's going to suffer. I mean, we just went through an issue where we had a landscaping meeting because the town looked so bad with a vendor.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pull our guys.
And that's historic. I mean, that's not just this vendor. We've had that
vendors. And you fired a vendor, and I understand that. But we're going to take our staff that now does other things, and then they're going to no longer do those things because they're going to come do these things, which means those things are going to suffer.
They won't be doing projects anymore. You're
my
correct.
Point, that's what I'm saying.
They won't be doing projects in 8. That doesn't mean projects on other sides of town where we have money will suffer, because we can put those out to bid instead. Those like Zone 61 has money. Zone 57 has money. Zone 9 has money to pay for those. We're totally flopping going from a... And this is, and it was described in the front of the budget document that Rick gave you. There's a paragraph in there about switching the mentality of going, we're not doing small to medium improvement projects anymore. We're flipping it to maintenance. So those guys, there's not money for those projects.
But what's going to happen to the little projects that need to be done?
Well, fortunately, most of the Newport Lane, I think, was the last unlandscaped area in town that you
can do anything with. Yeah. There's a couple we still can't do anything with, like the levees and stuff.
Yeah, we can't do anything with the levees, but
with Rec 800 or whatever, or the state or whatever.
Yeah. But those are, well, the feds after Katrina. But the Newport Lane was the last of the landscape projects, major ones that had to take place. Everything else in the short term has been completed. Discovery Boulevard, both sides have been completed. Newport Clipper's been done. The Boulevard right out here on Willow Lake was done a couple of years ago. Newport Lane's done. We did Marina Road earlier this year.
I think what Mark's asking is, who's going to maintain those?
Well, what's happening,
those are going to wander.
We were doing those projects in house.
Correct.
And the landscape company Odyssey was doing the maintenance of them once they were completed and operational. We will no longer be doing those types of small capital projects in-house. We will be doing maintenance only in-house in this area. And so the situation is that the landscape in this area has had such a huge investment over the last few years that by not moving forward with any new capital projects in the area, I think the only one is really the east side of south, is the highway east of the boulevard, right? Highway 4, we've just been doing maintenance over there. So that's really the only project that's going to suffer in that area. And as a community center continues to develop and revenues continue to come in, and we make it or break it in that area, this is something that is necessary to do.
Thank you for explaining that, because I also had the same concerns, and now I see the picture as you see it. I didn't before. Appreciate that explanation, and in no way am I trying to break down your plan. How much? And we voted to use Zone 8 money to help with the community center, so we've contributed to the handcuffing and to the plan that you had to put together. Completely accept responsibility for that. How much is there any, are we going to be able to put any monies into reserve in Zone 8 going forward, or is everything being spent?
No. No reserves.
No reserves, okay.
That, the preferred option, if you recall, and I'll send it to you electronically tomorrow, so you can refresh yourself with that. If you recall, there were some options, and one of them had Zone 8 reserves going out, I think, in 3 years under one of the options, which was status quo, and that was unacceptable.
Right.
And so the third option was...
Then we were going to be in the red by the fourth year.
Yeah, and so the third option was to do this, and in that third option, it doesn't even hit the five-year forecast. It's years down the road, but we are still going to be subsidizing. We will still be subsidizing, and in fact, if you recall, there was some media attention on someone's website that discussed that, that referenced that there would, that the community center would be subsidized. Well, it's not about the community center, just all of Zone 8 would be subsidized by Zone 8 revenues, or Zone 8 reserves, I'm sorry. And I don't recall what that number was, but it wasn't a small number. But that was the preferred option based upon the analysis of our wells at the time. And that was the option that the board directed us to move forward with and incorporate in the budget, and that's what we're doing this evening.
Does the merger of all the landscaping districts, will that affect this?
We just actually talked about this earlier this week, and right now that's a ways out. I mean, before we're able to, that's going to take a vote. It's going to take an idea of what we want that district to look like, how it's going to be funded.
Well, county's
there
right,
are,
right?
Are you referring to the park transfer agreement?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Different subject altogether. No. The park transfer agreement is completely stalled at the county level. It is absolutely one of the most frustrating projects, and we don't know why. We've discussed it with the supervisor's office regularly, discuss it with public works staff, and they have not moved forward with it, and we're going to have to come back to the board to decide what next steps do you want to take, because frankly we're not getting anywhere with the county at all. We are literally at a roadblock.
Okay. With no explanation.
With absolutely no explanation.
Wow. I didn't get that signal from the county, so okay. I'm missing that one.
I can't say, and I don't know maybe if this is even somewhere I should go, but with the new developments that are Newport Point and Pantages, the idea is that they create a recreation district that would help with the funding, that it could be, so that money could be chosen to be spent at the community center as well, which will help relieve Zone 8 from solely funding that. But again, that's upon those approvals and at a later date.
That's all part of the pre-annexation agreement that we're working on. In fact, we had a conference call on that with Newport Point on Monday or yesterday. I don't remember anymore. Yesterday. That's part of the pre-annexation agreement that will be part of that. We'll come back to you once that's done, and we're getting very close to wrapping those up.
Let me grow up a budget. Ask you about this question now. Have you run into this roadblock just at the supervisor's level, or also at the conservation?
There's no roadblock at the supervisor's level. The supervisor is trying to push this through.
Okay.
It is completely with the county and county council.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay.
Thank you for explaining it.
Sure.
Because I was a little confused.
Yeah, Kevin, I also wanted to point out, when you're looking at salary and wages, the $77,000 and saying that it was less than half,
right,
that also down below there was $25,000 for temporary employees. So we were at $100,000 in our budget last year for the community center, and we have zero for temporary next year.
Thank you. Thank you for explaining. I just moved down. Thank you.
There's the advertising expense has gone up from $6,500 or from $5,000 this year to $9,000. Again, that's we're doing additional. That one only planned two of our guides that would go out this year. There's three. There's also just the actual costs of getting those out was a little bit higher, slightly higher than we thought. Any questions on that page with the community center?
Can I ask a question on that,
Karen? Yes.
Are you planning on having paid ads in the future?
Yes. Yes.
Not the next one, though, correct?
I,
or last
I, yeah, I, Dan's working on that. I haven't seen the policy or that procedure yet. Or
what kind of, are you getting a good response from Blair?
The guide?
Yeah.
Most of our registrations are through online. So I would, whether that is, sometimes we do Facebook advertising and we post about, you know, reminding people that we have the online guide. And so it's hard to say whether they're just looking at the guide at home or they're visiting our website, seeing a Facebook, but you know, you can, they're coming in mostly through online registration through that guide.
Good. Okay.
On the second page, general repairs, we took down slightly, only because we made so many repairs this year there that, you know, we still need to replace a lot of things, but as far as repairing goes, I think we're pretty safe on lowering that a little bit.
Why did InfoSystem go up so much?
Why is it up?
Yeah.
Well, I believe that we weren't putting that all in the right category this year. I think it was some under consultants and the expenses this year for IT services went to multiple areas. We tried to consolidate that for next year. Again, we transitioned to Casell, but even though Dina's been using Casell for a couple years, you know, transitioning water and wastewater, this is very new to my side. I'm used to county codes and looking at this a whole other way. So when I was coding things, they're not always online with how her codes translate. So we're connecting better now in the future. Computer software, the 3,000, that is our easy facility monthly costs, as well as we have a Creative Cloud Adobe membership. That's what that is. Postage is for our guide. Office supplies, our office supplies there are high. We had new staff, and we do a lot of things: copies, printing, thermals, papers, the cash registers, bathrooms. Although bathrooms are somewhere else, I'm sorry, but there's just a lot of expenses that happen for day-to-day operations. Facility landscape maintenance. The only things you're seeing under that 3,000 for next year is like fertilizers, and that's not our labor cost again, because we have our labor somewhere else. We have our vehicle costs in a different code. We have our repairs in a different code. So that's mainly fertilization and any plant repairs that replacements that we need. Building maintenance. What are you asking? What happened? Oh, again, it's just the coding. So I mean, when you look at rent, facility expenses, building maintenance, and I think we had a general repairs at the top. If you see general repairs at 8406, there was no budget, but there's $9,000 there. But if you add all those, that's not, yeah, it's not your fault. It's a coding issue of just where I put it, and I thought it would go, and it didn't. You know, as those translate, it just came out. Permits and fees, can't do, that's, those are all the fees we pay for the fire, for occupancy, for our pool, for our health permit, for the snack shack, electrical. We budgeted $30,000, we're under for this year, but we did raise it for next year. Again, we weren't using the pool as much last year, and we weren't running heaters yet, so we're guesstimating for next year. Water cost, we've moved up. I'm sorry. Also, the $3,500 that you're seeing was actually water, waste, and electrical all rolled into one for last year. We separated it for this coming year. Chemicals, it's all associated with the pool. Bank charges, again, are the same thing that you saw on Dina's side, mainly our credit processing fees. Miscellaneous services and supplies, again, we're trying to lower that and then split the codes out. I think here we were using the $1,000, we have like uniform expenses that we didn't, uniforms and just, I'm trying to think what else we'll build in there. I don't have my notes with me.
Sure, nothing else stands out with the exception of program fees.
Okay. Program fees is the costs we pay to our instructors. So when we looked at the revenue, we had $25,000 for program revenue. Most of our contracts are an 80-20 split. The credit memos are refunds when the class doesn't happen or somebody wants to unenroll. For CIP, there's $2,500 in for equipment that's out of Zone 8. Again, that's associated with tooling up for maintenance. Parks, the CIP, the $14,500 is for sealing, re-slurring and striping Cornell Parks parking lot. Streetscape, $2,500. We just keep that in for plant replacements or tree replacements as a fund to materials only. $50,000 for the swimming pool. We did get a bid in earlier this year to re-plaster the pool, and it was $46,000. I think we can beat that if we go to public bid. But we put $50,000 in, and again, that revenue code at the top, what we were talking about coming from the community center fund is where that we'd be looking for that. And the $65,000 for the tennis courts would be WW.
Earlier, you guys were talking about the tennis courts. Are you afraid that the $65,000 won't completely renovate the courts?
It will not. We've had somebody out and to look at those. The front four courts are extremely, the cracking, if you seal them and resurface over them, your cracks will continue to come back. It needs to have like a slip sheet or to have them completely redone if you don't want to keep repairing cracks and resurfacing.
So what are we going to do for the $65,000?
The back four courts and the tennis screens. So we did Cornell's two courts, including painting, and for I think it was around 30, and that was for fabric and fencing and all kinds of stuff. And so I think we can do the four back courts as well as replacing some of the wind screens in there.
Are the front courts all bad?
There's the fourth one in the front. I think is playable. It's just the tennis posts were broken off and they're concreted and ground, so they have to be cored out and new ones put in. So I think that one could also be repaired. We would just push that money as far as we could.
We're just gonna ignore the front four courts and just leave them as white elephants?
Well, I think that we'd be limited on, we can either get four really nice courts that will stay nice, or we can use some of that money to repair front courts that will continue to crack.
What would the estimate to fix the front four courts and the locker one?
It was over $100,000.
For all eight, or just?
No, just for resheeting. Like when we did the basketball courts, same at Cornell, we have like an asphalt surface and it's unrepairable, so you either tear it out or you just slip sheet over that. And just for there's two full basketball courts at Cornell and it was $120,000. So it's the same. It's very expensive, so you either tear them out or you do a whole slip sheet over the top, or you repair them year after year. So I mean, it's something that we can, the specifics of that project will come back as far as a bid goes and what we're going to get for that at a later date. We're just budgeting for it now.
Are we getting a good volume of tennis use?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of tennis users out there. We have reservations on the courts. We have regular players, morning players. We have people who stop in all the time and are surprised that they're free now, didn't know that they were free, love to come play, onesie twosies. So we have multiple groups, then we have a lot of single players coming.
Is our recreation working on having a league? Or?
Not until we had, I guess, the facility to support that.
Okay. Moving on to Zone 9. This should be relatively brief.
This is so nice. Yeah, here it is.
The small painless zone.
How about I just ask if you have questions?
Yeah, that's
the same thing with salary and wages, with taking in house,
that's
all the same.
Well, Farron, what's your CIP on that, on the bottom of page two? $6,500.
It's parking lot again.
Okay.
Okay, let's see.
Moving on to the CIP.
Yes.
These two, the colorful sheets.
Oh.
Farron, thank you very much. You can go watch your movies. This CIP sheet is almost identical to the one that you accustomed to seeing over the past few years. The new projects are identified in purple, and you see those on page one. There's also a couple of them on page two. The first one, and I'm just gonna hit those ones because the other ones we've already spent time on, they've already been adopted and approved and moving forward. The first one is the $25,000 to replace the roof on building number two, well house building number two. And those funds are coming out of the infrastructure reserve fund. The next project is the vehicle storage facility, which we've discussed a number of times, the reclaimed water project, and the third project, or the fourth project on that list is project number 75, is to start the discussion on the relocation of district offices. Assuming the board move forward with that, I will just want to remind you that this is a budget placeholder number. You will have many opportunities to discuss this prior to any money being spent, because I certainly wouldn't do that without your authorization. Number one, number two, this assumes a preliminary design site plan work this coming fiscal year. The next fiscal year would be design services, and again, these numbers are estimates based on square footage. With the third year, so basically this time in 2017, which is 3 years from now, theoretically we could be relocating our district offices to a one-stop shop where we don't have the public invited into our domestic water supply facility, and we would then utilize this facility for our district maintenance staff. We can move them into here. That is that item. Moving down to the bottom of the page, items 71, 72, and numbers that aren't yet added. Oxidation ditch number one and oxidation ditch number two, those don't take place till the third and fourth year, respectively, of the CIP. Valve replacement project, we had a water wastewater subcommittee meeting a few weeks ago, and these were some projects that were recommended by not only Veolia, but as well as our district engineer. And I know that Director Graves attended that meeting. And so we've assigned $30,000 to the valve replacement project. And that is utilizing replacement funds for that. And if you go back to that sheet I mentioned earlier in the evening, the 8.5 by 11 that had the infrastructure reserve fund. The monitoring well number two, this is a little bit of a frustrating project, in that we have three other monitoring wells there down at wastewater treatment plant number two, and they would like, and the board wants us to put a fourth one in, and this is solely for the purpose to ensure that our wastewater treatment process is not leaching into the ground below, so we have to put this monitoring well in. We just got an estimate on that, just the construction estimate to do the work of about $20,000. But that doesn't include all the permitting and everything else, so I think 30,000 is a solid number there. Clarifying number one, at wastewater treatment plant number two, that's on the out year, that's $75,000. That is out of the infrastructure replacement fund. And then relocating, when we complete the project at lift station F, which those of you that drive Willow Lake Road right now, down to River Lake Road, you see our project ongoing, and they're tying up the street. that would be a project that we would take that panel, because it is actually the control panel itself is actually relatively new within the last couple of years. So we want to take that panel and reassign it to a lift station that has an old panel. And so that's about $40,000. Turning the page.
Well, while you're on that, is that container going to stay on that corner right there?
It's going to stay on that corner until the project is complete, yes. There's no other place to put it. It's all their equipment and materials. They've only been on the job, as you know, for a week. They are anticipating being off-site by July 1. They're planning on getting this project wrapped up way ahead of schedule, so hopefully they'll be done sooner. And Virgil can, if you have any questions about that project, but from what I understand, and from what I've heard from both Virgil as well as from Gregory Harrison, I've stopped by there a few times, that they are making pretty good headway.
What we have done there, just so you know, is we plugged already a couple of sewer mains where we put in, we call them pigs, they're just plugs that go in there, diverted that sewer to the golf course. So what it is we reversed the flow. Normally the golf course on Edgeview would, and St. Andrews would come into F.
Yeah, and that's okay.
But it is a major issue.
No, the issue that I had is more safe. Driver
yes,
safety.
And I'm aware of that. We've got a encroachment permit from the county to do that on because the room factor didn't have any room to put that there.
All right.
Yeah, when I stopped by there today, I did discuss with them some of their traffic plan, if you will.
Yeah, I was there today. They got the one big F-450 in the middle of the street sticking straight up.
That is such a tight site. Such a tight site.
I drive that all the time. It's around the corner from my house. The good news is you're slowing down to a stop sign and you're leaving a stop sign. So there, so far as what I've seen, I drove through there about 5 times today. People are being very aware. It's probably not the best situation.
They may need to just have a safety, traffic guy with a slow sign or something out there.
I'll talk to Greg about the traffic control plan. Onto the second page, the lift station rehabilitation project. That $50,000 in this current fiscal year, we're going to take that $50,000 and move it into next year. We were hoping to get a proposal this week to get it on your June 18th agenda, and that just isn't going to happen. Bernie's having a little bit of difficulty with the cabinet company and trying to identify exactly what it is they want, and I felt that it would be inappropriate for me to bring to the board a request for $50,000 without any detail and for you to issue a contract on that. So we're going to push that number into next year, as well as the $50,000 below that. Those two projects are going to go hand in hand, simultaneously, I should say, and that's a $100,000 project. So we're going to go ahead and move the money into next year, so there would be another $50,000 in the second year as well. So those are two projects that were previously programmed in this fiscal year, but we're going to go ahead and move into next year, and we've identified the project for which they're going to be.
That lift station rehabilitation project that you're moving over, was that for the one over the road?
I think it was the one over on
G
Starboard.
Willow Lake.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, that guy came up. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, I remember. Okay.
That is basically the CIP. Like I said earlier, your operating is something that's more detailed, and you have to obviously spend more time with it. Your capital improvement program budget is fairly, it goes up and goes down depending on year to year, and if you look at the budget, that's the reason why we're 6% below this year over last year, is because we're not going to be spending as much next year, and especially as soon as we start dropping, our bond money's going to be going away, but then we're going to be going into contract here pretty soon for the filtration project, as well as the nitrification project, and I believe that has been added to this. If not, we're going to, it's outside the 5-year forecast, I'm sorry. So it would not be on here quite yet. So in summary, that's the budget, that's what's proposed. We will certainly make any changes that we discussed this evening and incorporate those and bring them back for adoption on the 18th. However, prior to that, we would like to hear from the board to see if there's something you missed, if something you'd like to see removed. If you want to leave certain things in as placeholders and have further discussion later, that's certainly an option. We've done that in the past. And so at this point in time, it's up to you.
I can tell you what I'd like to see removed right off the top is the cardboard that we've quoted down every year for the last 6 years or 7 years. I'm not sure why we'd be putting it back on every year. Every year it gets voted.
I would say that it's time to stop voting now. It's time to build it, protect our equipment. We have new equipment we just purchased. We don't have any protection for it. And yes, it's been voted down every year, but we haven't all agreed on that. We've kind of said okay to it, but it's a necessary, it's something we need to have to protect our equipment. But we're out here in the heat, and it's something that we need to have. And we needed it 4 years ago when it got voted down. Mark, I've been sitting here with you doing this for 4 years, so I know what you're talking about.
Biggest waste of money I have ever seen. What you need to do, and I did this, and I suggest you do it, go over and take a look at the equipment. Show me anywhere on the trucks over there that have been sitting out that would justify spending $150,000 to build a garage.
This winter, we had, early in the morning, we had a sewage overflow. We took our back truck out, and we could not make the back truck work because the lines were all frozen because it was sat in the open in the winter elements. So we could not. We had to lay that hose out and take the porch. The hose is 600 feet long. We had to pull that out, take the torch, and heat up the water so water can push out of there so we could break open the sewer.
They're going to be just as cold sitting on a carport.
Pardon me?
It's going to be just as cold sitting
on a carport. It might be cold, but at least the roof protected from the frost. That's the part. The hose sits right up front.
I told Rick that I went down there the other day. I went down and took a look at some of our equipment. I looked at the back truck. No cracks, no wear, no rust, no discoloring, no nothing. How many years has it been sitting out there?
Well, we replaced the hoses on that. We've had hoses that have been brittle, that have been broken away. Now, granted, they're relatively inexpensive, thin hoses. The heavier duty ones are very sturdy. It's not just that vehicle, though. There are a number of pieces of equipment down there. Any public agency you're going to go to, their corp yard, which this is our corp yard, for the most part, for their heavy equipment, not their tractors necessarily as much as their back trucks and their vehicles and their bigger equipment, they are stored in facilities and they are stored covered at night.
Can I make a suggestion that when time permits for staff, maybe just schedule a work session or study session, just a little mini one, just on this item only, and we could have a nice discussion about it, and maybe that facility could be multi-use of some sort, more than just storage facility for vehicles. Give it a little thought, and I think that'll help
solve security, all these things.
And this would absolutely come back to the board. We don't have the authority to
I understand that. But
definitely bring it back to the board, and we can have that conversation.
Yeah, prior to yay or nay, have a study session. Staff will then get a good feel for where everybody's at, and then you'll be able to make some decisions.
The one good thing about the budget, it's a plan. You can always, during the course of the year, you can always change the plan. You can always go off in different directions.
I understand, just to get this item either.
And likewise, with the item with regards to the place markers for the relocation of the district offices, the board definitely needs to talk about that before we start spending money on artist conceptions and square footage application. Before we spend any money with Mark Lee or anybody else to start doing any more, we need to have a discussion on how we're going to do that, if we're going to do that, where the budget's going to come from in 3 years to pay for that $2 million to build it, and before we move any further, we need to really have a...
I would agree with you, and I think that should be a study session environment also, so we've got free flow of information.
That's what I was just trying to tail off what
absolutely.
You said.
I would absolutely head off in that direction.
Okay.
No,
whenever you're ready. Are we done?
At this point, like I said, it's up to you. So I will...
clarification. I'm leaving everything on the CIP then for further discussion, correct? Okay, leaving it off. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. So... That's what I was going to mention. So what we will do is we will present the final document to the board next week in an action item. It won't be on consent. And it will be the same budget you have seen this evening, with the exception of the changes that we've talked about, and we will incorporate those. You may not get the book finalized until next week, because some of these, it's not, making one change responds to a whole bunch of other different changes. And so you may, like this week, you may end up getting it, just hand it to you at the board meeting.
That's fine, we know the changes.
You'll get an email, we'll email it out to you like we did yesterday, as soon as it's done. You get a copy of the meeting. But there will be, this document that you see this evening will be distributed with the agenda packet on Friday. You won't have the new one, but you will have the new one next week.
Can I just make a request as a courtesy? Because I'm not going to be able to be at the meeting next. I've got to go do my National Guard stuff down at Camp Roberts, hence haircut, for a week down there in uniform. So if anybody, I mean, we're pretty much agreeing that this is probably the way it's going to come back. There's not going to be any big surprises on there. Or if the, if somebody does have something, since it does not violate the Brown Act for two of us to speak, if somebody has something that they think they're going to, if they could just as a courtesy shoot me an email or call me. That's two of us. What's wrong with that?
So
now what happens when a third person calls you and talks about the same item?
Well, then I don't talk to them.
Okay.
I'm very disciplined that way.
Are we all in agreement on the landscape?
What I recommend is if there are changes that are otherwise identified by individual board members, that Rick will send out an email to the board letting him know that this is an issue that has been raised within the packet. And you could direct that directly back to Rick.
Okay. And I'm not talking about little stuff, but if there's something that all of a sudden somebody goes, there's a blaring thing, I just kind of like to know. I mean, it's probably not, actually doesn't even make any difference. I'm not going to be here to vote. But it would just be a courtesy.
The other thing, and Chris just brought it up, and I understand his point. We're going to vote on a budget for the landscaping for Zone 8. And this is the first night we've talked about it, and there's no alternative.
I go back. We discussed it in October, and that was the board direction. And at the last board meeting, Farron got up and gave an update to the board and discussed this subject specifically at this podium 2 weeks ago, last Wednesday night.
But you recall that I asked her, she gave him no details, zero. She stood up and said, we want to take it in-house. I said, hold on a minute. You need to bring us full details of what this is going to entail, what it's going to cost, what the benefits are, vehicles, gas. And we've had that until tonight. I mean, this is the first, you know, she's been talking about taking it in-house for quite a while now, our grandchild. We've never sat down and
she referenced earlier this evening that she was going to be reconvening yourself and Director Wiesen so that she would be able to go over all of that with you.
But they need it. The rest of the board needs to go over this.
It's going to come back to the board.
At the night we vote on it?
Yeah. No. No.
When's it coming back? We vote next Wednesday.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't know when she has plans to get to you, but again.
But it can't get to the full board, because what I'm trying to say, this is what I'm trying to say. It'll come, if she calls me or calls the two of us and says, let's talk about it, it doesn't come to the board until it's time to vote on it.
Okay. And I noticed council looking at the same page I'm looking at this point, but here's, and this was part of my questions earlier, I'm saying the same thing. What we don't have is a comparison cost. I don't see anywhere along here telling me how much it costs to do it with the other company. And all we have is what her costs are. We don't know how much money she's saving or not saving.
I think we also need to know how many employees performs that work with the contract company versus our two. We're not getting apples to apples.
There's a certain amount of hours that company's working.
You know, they're doing Cornell Park,
they're doing that job.
I think they just say that we're not going to answer.
All right, where are you at, Dina?
I'm sorry.
Where are you at?
I'm looking at Zone 8's budget, line facility maintenance landscaping.
Hey, hold on.
It's page 2.
Okay.
7440.
Hold on. Okay.
And so the only comparison I can give you, since I don't know this further like Farron does, is that what we had budgeted for is $155,000.
What column are you on?
Page 2 of Zone 8 budget, line 7440, facility maintenance landscape.
Okay. Is that the cost of our contract?
That, I believe, is the total cost of everything Odyssey puts together.
So that's an estimate for line repair and the extras and all that kind of stuff that they get us on, tree trimming above a certain footage and all that kind of stuff?
I believe their contract is about $100,000, and there's the additional.
But then we have additional fees.
Yes,
okay.
And so you see there on that line item, I just lost my place. She still has some of the. There's still money in there for Odyssey to come in and do some of those similar insane types of repairs with the irrigation valves and some of the repairs and that sort of thing.
But you're going to have a contract with them. We're about to terminate their contract.
And we donate. Still, we are going out to, we will be going out to bid on the current contract with Odyssey on the other side of town, and I hate to use that term, non-zone 8 areas, is up for bid later this year, and it has to go to bid because we've had 2 plus 2.
What about the zone 8 contract?
The Zone A contract, we would do a termination on Zone A.
Why don't we just run it till we ever win?
When does it expire?
I believe it expires at the end of this year. All of Odyssey expires at the end of this year.
So you're going to take them out of the Zone A contract.
Just one.
Let them bid for the Zone 9 contract.
And then?
They're out of Zone 9 as well.
Or 61. 61.
And then you're going to tell them, but we may want you to come back and do some non-contractor workforce. We don't know what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
You
said that.
The contract, the landscape maintenance contract, regardless of who it's with or who it's going to be with, is going to be out to bid later this year, and the board will have an opportunity to award a bid to a contract firm. It could be anybody.
But we won't award Zone 8 if we're going to take it in-house.
That's correct.
So it doesn't matter if it comes up for bid because we won't be bidding on Zone 8.
That's correct.
So if you take the amount of employees that Odyssey uses to service Zone 8.
I believe there's 3.
That's all. They only have 3 people in this whole town?
I believe that they have 3 that do the maintenance. They have other people that do some of the other items. For example, the valve replacements and the repairs, and we're still leaving that in the budget.
Are they either
or whether it's two? Whether no, they're only here a couple days a week. They have picked up a new contract at the golf course. I believe the golf course changed. They're there one day, and they did not up staffing in the community, and so that was part of the reason why we had some issues. And so we can go ahead and keep a contract, and we can go ahead and keep a landscape maintenance contract in place in Zone 8 and continue to do business the way we're doing right now, if that's the board's direction.
It may not be our direction.
I know, but what I'm going to say is, but all that does is draw down Zone 8 reserves instead of being out years, like within a 10-year time frame, it's going to do it in 3.
Can you?
3 to 4 years.
Rick, I may have totally misunderstood, but I thought Darren had implied that it was either she would have to lay off her 2 men or continue the contract. It wasn't taking out more funds.
No,
it was either
we
or.
We actually did have that conversation, and thank you for bringing that up, because that was one of the considerations. In order to keep the reserves at a pace where we can keep the community center going for an extended period of time so we can develop it and build it up. We have a constrained budget. That was why we brought the forecast to you, the 5-year financial forecast to you back in October. We knew then that we were going to be facing this day today, and that was the direction the board gave us at the time. We had this conversation back in October. Otherwise, we wouldn't have brought it to you this way.
Can I interject just one thing?
Absolutely.
Okay. If we had the conversation in October, which we sort of kind of did, why did we wait from October till tonight to present it to the board with no figures of any kind? We don't know what it's really going to cost. We don't know how many employees we're really going to need. That's why we're all asking this question.
In all due respect, President Simon, you have heard this conversation at our subcommittee meetings.
Yeah.
It was presented in the budget that came to the board last week. It was in the budget document last week. It's been discussed here. It was Vera discussed it last week in her presentation. It's in the budget document tonight. It is a budget plan. A budget document is something that is a plan going forward. It is our recommendation, the staff's recommendation with respect to a financial plan moving into the future.
I'm not disputing
it. I get that. The fact of the matter that nothing took place between October and today, or last week actually, when the budget was originally distributed to the board, the full board, was because we were going based on the direction of the board back in October. If you would like to evaluate and reassess that, we'd be happy to do that. But that was the direction that we were going.
Okay, let me go back a little ways. We had a landscape committee meeting, you, Farron, and the two of us. The first question I asked Farron is, when are you going to bring us a side-by-side presentation? So what the cost savings are, what the employee difference is, what it's going to actually, she says, I'll bring that to you. The last meeting we had, she stood up here at the podium, and I asked her again, before we look at this, I want to know what it's going to cost us. What are we saving? Who are we hiring? Will there be more trenches? I'll bring all that to you at the meeting. And to this time, we still don't have it.
Well, actually, that's what I started off saying here. I said the exact same thing you did about 10 minutes ago. But in counsel pointing out, she has given us how much it's going to cost, $102,000 right here on the sheet. That's what it's going to cost. What it's costing us is $155,000.
Including the $50,000 in odd money.
Including the additional contracts that have to be done. The problem, and I was, trust me, I was thinking about this as we were having this discussion, which is how come I missed a couple other things, but I'm thinking, well, why don't we just get rid of our staff and pay fair to manage the landscape contractors? That would be an option. But the problem with that is you don't have anybody to do all the amount of money that we're going to pay a contractor to do those little odd jobs that have to be done throughout would probably escalate the budget beyond the $155,000.
Can I play the devil's advocate for one second? If the vendor is
an unusual role for you, by the way, but go ahead.
If the vendor is $155,000, yeah. Now we decide that's what the vendor is about $155,000.
Yes.
Okay. She's setting up $102,000 for in-house and an additional $50,000 so we can bring the vendor to do the rest of the work. Yeah. What are we saving?
It's not a saving.
I don't believe that's not accurate.
This is a financial.
It's a
financial move so yeah. that you can take revenues out of Zone 8 to help. This is creative.
That's only for the vendor out of Zone
8. Right now, you're
paying this is on paper having the ability to shift the funds from Zone 8 to over to here and to move this over to there.
But you're paying out the same dollar
value. No, you're not.
Where are you not paying it out?
You're not paying Odyssey anymore. You're still paying our staff. But yeah. Now you're not paying Odyssey $100,000.
Mark's not.
You're still paying our staff. You'd be paying them regardless if they were here now.
Unless we laid them off. But that wasn't part of the
unless you got rid of them. I guess and then you're saving the same amount of money you would be saving if you got rid of Odyssey.
The question is,
you'd be saving $53,000 a year.
Either way.
Roughly, you'd be saving $53,000 a year.
Which extends the budget for the community center.
Correct.
And the other question, I don't think that all of the board
is
understanding.
That's just Zone 8. That's it, because that's not
including who's, community who's center. Driving the lawnmower and who's fixing the irrigation? That's the basic question that I think is being asked. So if we're assuming that the landscape company removes, right. And now our guys are running the lawnmower and fixing all the stuff, you know, I don't think that picture is clear on how they're going to change here and there.
She's actually going to be setting together a schedule, is my understanding. There is a maintenance schedule, and every day they have a different area that they're going to be maintaining.
And personally, I think we will get more efficient and effective work out of our staff by doing it this way than the way we're doing it currently. Because they get bounced around, as you said, Mark, they're at the community center for much time, been there for. They get bounced around right now on these little projects because there isn't a routine. I may be wrong, but I mean, you know, like Bill, I ran a construction company for a while, and I understand putting guys, you know, keeping guys working on specific tasks.
I think the thing that's still, I understand the dollar amount. I understand we're saving this $53,000. I understand that. This is my problem. We hired a staff size-wise for exactly the work we needed to do in this town. We don't have any extra employees. So we're going to take and get rid of a vendor that has 3 full-time employees that are here and take, oh, yes, you are.
They're not here full-time. They're here two days a week.
So the days they're here and the days they fix up, we're going to take our guys who were hired to do a different job off of that job, which Sharon said herself, we're not going to do any more projects.
Yeah.
We're going to take them off of that job to go do the landscaping. So who's going to do their job?
But if there aren't any projects, there's nothing for them
there's
to do.
There's always projects.
Create the projects, though.
There are maintenance projects that will always be there. The capital projects that we've been working on, and like I mentioned earlier, for example, Newport Lane was the last one that we finished just recently. We actually went to do some replanting because we got that early freeze back in December. That was the last real big project. And now we're under a maintenance level. We're under a level of maintenance. I have confidence that we can do a better job with more this control. Plan, and I told you this in that meeting. I hope I don't have to hear you say three little words, four little words, which
I'll
are
leave,
I told you
it.
So.
I'll leave the aisle.
Okay. All right. So, okay, there you go. Fair enough.
Rick, I'm not against doing this.
I understand that. But the difficulty that she has is very frustrating for her, and the ability to be able to drill down with her staff and her crews, which she can't do with the other guys, is much greater. If we fail, we fail. But I don't think we're going to.
One benefit, and it's not always monetary, is that when Odyssey is here 2 times a week and there are dead plants and she wants them pulled, she has to find time to meet with them to get them to understand. But it goes to management first, and it might not trickle down to their guys. That's the way that it's laid out. Now, if there's Discovery Bay Boulevard, dead plants, you can go, guess what? I want you to go do that now. We're going to rearrange your schedule and we'll take care of it right away. So it could take us a couple of weeks. It's more responsive. If the schedule works and everything.
I'm not against it. I will vote for it. I'm not against it. I will vote for her doing it. I have confidence in her. I just want it to be planned out and done right. I don't want to come back 3-4 months and go, what the hell's happened to our landscape?
It's dying.
It is.
Right.
For the sake of it in the meeting, I just want to say that that budget is the most constrained budget we have, and our hands are really tied.
And we've created that as a board.
And we've got a huge investment right next door to us, and I think that for all intents and purposes, we're succeeding over there. We might not be making all the money that we would like to make over there, but we're succeeding. We're getting positive responses. The pool's full. The tennis courts are being used. Classes are taking place. You drive by there every single day.
It's a great center.
And it's a great asset, and this is we're just constrained. This is the most constrained budget in the 4 years I've been here.
This is the positive thing that I see with it, is what is the harm in trying it for even a quarter and see if it's working? If it's not working, we do a budget event, a year, a quarter, 6 months. If it's not working, then it's not working, and we go back to the way it was.
2 weeks.
You've got 2 weeks with two guys, clean it all up.
It is late.
But I mean, you can't always go back. So
well, there is that. That is a good point. If they're only out here for 2 days. And Phil's right. This is really about redirecting assets to compensate for a decision that we made as a board, which we all believe is the right decision. I'm just really pleased with what's going on with the community.
I think it's two things. It's the ability to free up some monies in a way that we can't if we don't do this. And it allows us to solve one of the problems that Chris has been moaning about, and that is response time for getting things fixed. And I don't blame Chris for that at all. I mean, I appreciate it. So I think we're killing two birds with one stone with this concept. Anything else?
I'm okay.
I think it was
anything else?
Nope.
Going once?
All right. Thank you for
adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Presentation. I'm gonna leave everything right here.